Tonight, it's New Music Monday, and we're very happy to welcome a Steve and Johnny regular, Magoo, to the studio. Then later, Patty and I will explain why we're predicting the end of the world after the release of Pokemon Go. But first, we'll catch up with friend of the show, Dr. Sandy Goldberg. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, it's Monday. What a strange day. What a strange few days. I've been off since last Tuesday night. I've missed you all. Esmeralda, I missed you.
How is my my alter ego?
Who's your alter
ego? My little corn.
Oh, your corn stalk.
My little me.
So what happened on Thursday, I had to go to Peru, Illinois, to do our 360 corn video, and the weather actually turned on us, so I will be going back on Thursday, but not like overnight, just there and back, so I will check in on you on Thursday.
Good.
Yes, I was not able to. They are very proud of you, though. They said they kept track of you, but I did not get any footage because we were just getting out of Dodge.
I'll let my mother know.
Yeah, you're very hearty, is I believe the way they put it. Did you know that stalk of corn, how many cobs do you think are on a stalk of corn?
One?
Yes.
One cob?
Yeah, like a double is a rarity. Usually it's just
I always just assumed. Like when
really?
You saw them
just
at the
one?
Supermarket,
yeah,
it'd be one.
It's just one on a stalk. Did you ever realize it was just one cob of corn?
Per stalk?
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
Are we
I was
real?
Standing in a field. Some of them have two,
okay.
But typically there's one.
So two is a lot.
Two's double.
Wow. Two is 100% more.
Yes. There's something very...
That seems really difficult.
It does. It seems like a lot of work.
For just one.
It's like there are people that devote themselves
I
to harvesting.
I grilled four corns today. We had to throw one out.
Oh.
They grew one for no reason.
No, it's not true.
Okay.
No, you bought it, and that was the reason.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
You tried to consume it.
That's true.
You did your best.
I did. I got
mm-hmm.
full.
Yeah.
The
done.
Bratwurst was too much.
Yeah. You couldn't take it home with you?
No.
All right. You had a bratwurst today?
Yeah, yeah. We went, Betty and I grilled at the park. We've been doing that now. We've been taking my tiny little, like, $15 grill to the park. And
bienvenidos a la Mexicana familia.
Yep. That's yeah. That's what we did. We did that.
Yeah. I don't know. Are there a lot of people that aren't Mexican?
No.
Grilling at the park?
No, actually, the park we go to, it is just other Mexican
people.
Predominantly
Latino.
Yeah, no, we're making friends, though. We're now friends with this family. They're really nice.
You see, and
don't remember their names.
This was something I was going to mention, and I don't know if you noticed over the weekend, because of the events of last week, did you notice like a difference in the tone? Because I asked a friend of mine who is black, and I asked him, are people being nicer to you? Because I feel there was a woman who was trying to merge on the Kennedy, this woman, a black driver. And I was like, I was like, go, you got the whole lane. And for police officers, a cop just drove by. I think it would be weird if I knocked on his window at a red light and I'm like, I need to hug you. That's how I feel this week is, there's all like hashtag this, hashtag that. I think hugs and you can have the lane.
Yeah, hug and have the lane is a great slogan.
I think it's for both. Somebody sent me a message and said she was going to be outside the 16th District Police Station on Friday to thank everybody, all the police officers. And I didn't go because I would like to thank police officers all the time, not just on Friday, not after a huge tragedy. Yes, of course, including after a tremendous tragedy, after a huge loss. Yeah, we're not turning that microphone on. You're adorable, though.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Go ahead and keep hitting
it
that.
It's a nice try. We have power.
I'm in the middle of talking about the tragedies of last week, and this guy's like, is this thing on? Can I talk on this? Oh, the people getting shot?
I'm sure he had a really eloquent point about some of the tragedies of last week. That's what he wanted to talk about.
I just want to say I'm from someplace else.
I was in Howells and Hood. It was great. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, this is the story of my
life.
Anyway,
you were talking. You were saying.
This is accurate. This would be appropriate. I got headbutted in the face tonight. Somebody headbutted me in the face.
Oh, no.
On accident. It was obviously a complete accident, and I'm distracted by that for the rest of the night.
Yeah, for sure.
And also the
tragedies. Are you sure it was a complete accident?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
I was at Zany's, and a phone was going off. And we all kind of stood there for a moment, and then I thought, what if it's my phone? So I went running into the showroom and rounded the corner, and somebody else realized it was their phone, and they were trying to get out of the room.
And
so
you guys
it was a
got
know,
it.
And boom.
And not that this is an appropriate topic to segue to, but Ron Jeremy's phone rang during his speech at Exotica.
You can come
no
back
response.
To the microphone.
Yeah, come back, guys. Come back to the mic. Come back. I sat in on Ron's speech at Exotica, and his phone rang in his pocket.
What was he speaking on?
He was talking about what we do and don't know behind the scenes about the adult industry.
Did you feel enlightened?
No.
No. No.
There were not like... a lot of people in his room. There was the one next door, because they only do two panels. The one next door was apparently much more popular than Ron.
What was the one next door?
I can't say that on the air.
Why not?
It was a tutorial on how to do something better, how guys would do something better for ladies.
And you can't talk about that on the air?
Pack
that's,
of lunch?
That's as much as I could talk about it on the air. I can't say the name of it.
Probably scream that from the rooftops.
I can't say the name of what they called it.
How guys can
do
help
something.
A woman arrive at
correct.
A destination?
Yes.
Without?
A specific way.
Without boarding?
Yep. That was the talk.
Esmeralda's
much
like...
more popular than Ron. And again, you were talking about something completely different.
And that's the beauty of this show.
Yeah.
We can cover it all in the span right. of a few moments.
His phone did ring, though, and that was weird.
Awkward?
Yeah.
Is it more awkward during Ron Jeremy's or to have
your everything phone... was awkward about Ron Jeremy's speech, yeah. to be honest.
Did you get a selfie with Ron Jeremy?
I did not.
Why not?
I don't do that. I should. It's cool. I just don't. I know. I don't want to.
Video of a mariachi playing during your wonderful Mexican dinner.
Yep.
Yes.
That's cool.
Selfie with Ron Jeremy.
No. I'm going to pass.
Just checking.
Right.
I'm just checking the baseline.
I'm not sure that I want to be in selfie vicinity. Ron's a nice guy, but the stories he told
were... Is he still filming movies?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And I get the sense, and I don't mean to be mean to Ron, that he might not be fully in touch with what's going on in the adult industry currently.
Do you think that he was drawn to the industry because he was not in touch, or is he out of the
industry? Oh, no, I think he was in touch with the industry when he was a star.
Yes.
I'm not sure that he's still, the advice he was giving, the things he was saying, all seemed to be a little dated.
Mm.
Let's say that.
It's a strange turn we've taken.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. We should take a break, maybe.
I want to let you know that we have a wonderful guest in the green room. We had the band that was here, by the way, we have bands all the time and we want to make sure that they're happy when they're going to perform. This is the first time I've ever had to ask a band, could you please throw away your empties? So, I mean, Dr. Sandy Goldberg is sitting in the green room. I'm looking forward to talking to her about many important health issues. And I was like, dudes, could you just throw away that six-pack you got going on there? Could you just take care of that? So we will have the wonderful Dr. Sandy Goldberg. She is the founder of Silver Linings Foundation. Many of you have heard the PSAs right here, and many of you have probably benefited from the information that she has shared with us before. More with her when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And joining me is Dr. Sandy Goldberg of the Silver Linings Foundation. And she is the founder of Silver Linings Foundation. She's asked me to call her Sandy. Craig, what's the likelihood that I can do that? Like, it's very hard for me. It's Dr. Sandy.
Patty, precious. The name is Sandy.
All right, Sandy.
How long have we known each other?
For many years, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
I know.
So you can graduate now and call me Sandy.
Well, not only have I known you personally, but I've watched you for many years giving people so much important information about their health, about nutrition, about taking care of themselves. And you're so invested in this. And your philosophy is that we need to take care of each other.
We do. We must take care of each other. You know, everything we do at a Silver Lining Foundation is based on what my mother used to say over and over and over again. And she'd say, we are all family and we have to help each other through the tough times. And all of us experience tough times in one way or another.
Does that philosophy, and I didn't mean to touch on this with you, but everything's happened in the last week. Do you so wish that we could spread that sort of sense of we're all family? Because it's been so divisive in the last few days. I know that what you do is, you know, making sure that we take care of each other in a health sort of sense, but the emotional well-being is also, we're all part of the same family.
We are all part of the same family, and really it is identical in terms of what we talk about at the Silver Lining Foundation and frankly what should be going on in the world.
Yes.
Because when you talk about taking care of each other from a health standpoint, there's much more to it than that. There's much more. I mean, one of the reasons that we do what we do is because people are so fearful because they have no place to go. They don't feel that anybody cares about them. And what do they do? Nothing.
And it frustrates me so much. And again, let's before we have this conversation about getting checked out, about taking care of yourself, explain what a Silver Linings Foundation is.
A Silver Lining Foundation is a not-for-profit that was started by my husband and myself like 13 years ago at our kitchen table. It deals basically with access to education, information, and cost-free breast health testing. We have five programs, but the heart of which, as you well know, Patty, is our program that we call Buy a Mom a Mammogram.
Right.
And what we do is we fund the entire spectrum of breast health testing, soup to nuts, you know, from a screening mammogram all the way through biopsy for uninsured and underinsured women and men at our now 15 partner hospitals. Can you believe it? 15 partner hospitals?
And I talked to a doctor recently who wants to be a part of your group. So I think you're going to... Do you try to expand and make sure you get like other doctors who are also in the field of trying to like do more for their patients?
I think the important thing for everyone to remember, especially in the medical field now, is that patients can't afford a lot.
Yeah.
And what we are is a haven for those patients who can't afford. So we're always reaching out anywhere, everywhere. And to say you have a patient that can't afford, you send them to us. For breast health testing, we can help.
That's wonderful. And so the thing that catches my breath still, and you've heard this from other people, I don't want to get checked out because I'd rather not know. Is it the most... I don't even words. I just heard that this weekend from someone I've known since we were children.
If my hair wasn't white already, the statement like that would turn it right. I mean, it's like living inside of a cocoon. If you don't know, you can't help yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't know, you can't help other people. But yet that is a philosophy that to some extent is still quite common. You know as well as I do that many of us hear the word cancer and we think death sentence. That's not the case, and it certainly isn't the case now.
It's a process that you go through. It's, you know, look, and I know it sounds different, but it's a cavity. You treat it. If you don't want to not know that you have a cavity, you go get checked out. I would hope. I know there are people who don't. But if there's any part of your body that you can address, I mean, we have so much access to treatment. Why would you withhold yourself? Why would you keep yourself from being well?
But you know, it's very interesting, and I'm going to hearken back to what you were talking about, to what's going on in the world today. People feel disenfranchised.
Yes.
People feel that nobody cares about them. And if people are disenfranchised, they're not going to move forward. Or if they do, it's not going to be in a positive fashion for themselves and for the people around them. I mean, what I have heard over and over and over again, less now since people know about silver lining, is the fact that people feel they're not worthy because they have no money and they have no insurance.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't deserve to have this treatment or to even be examined.
Or are you for real?
I'll be a burden.
Are you for real?
What does that mean, are
I
you for real?
I get that a lot. Are you for real? Really, really, honestly, truly, I don't have to pay anything?
They're skeptical of your intentions?
Well, less so now, but particularly in the beginning, or when we go into communities that people don't know us that well, why would you want to help me?
Wow. Yeah. Because you're family.
Your family, and that's for sure. And my mother is smiling up in heaven, and if she wouldn't be, believe me, I would know.
Yeah, it is. I told you in the green room that I posted a picture of myself getting a mammogram, and the technician said it was a first. And here's why, because you've seen my show, a little bit of my humor about women's health.
Yep.
It occurred to me as I was in the machine, as I was on the plate, it wasn't that bad. First of all, it's not that bad. I think that's part of the fear, but I've also helped perpetuate that myth that it's uncomfortable, that it's painful. It's so quick. It really is. But I have these exaggerations about how, you know, it's like a pancake and pass the syrup. And, you know, I remember one time I had to have there was a lump in my armpit and they had to pull that skin on, and I have jokes about it. It really wasn't, because here's the thing. I was so relieved to find out I was okay. And if I hadn't been okay, I also would have wanted that information to know what to do next.
But what I have to remind you is that you are you, and we are fortunate, you and I, to be able to have access to what it is we need with really, frankly, not thinking about it.
Right.
Then you go into the community where people are struggling to feed their kids, to keep a roof over their heads, who don't have insurance, who are treated like numbers. It's an entirely different philosophy, and it's an entirely different approach. And that's what we try to do. And that's really what you try to do, is level that playing field.
Right.
There is a heaven. There is a place to go. But you have to pick up the phone. You have to call. And then we'll help you from there.
What kind of conversations should people be having with the people? I mean, because this seems very private. I mean, Facebook pulled down that photo, you know, because it was somebody had to have complained that it crossed a line because it was a picture of my breast, which I had actually blurred, but it was in the machine, and I wanted to show I was having it done. Not that big of a deal. This is what it looks like.
And remember, before the show, I said to you, it's all right for people to tape people getting shot and killed. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But to show someone who's doing something positive and wants to act as an example, that was not okay. And on that, Facebook, you know, boo-hoo on you.
And the person that complained, it made them uncomfortable or whatever reason they wanted to.
Let them unfriend you.
Yeah. And that goes for anybody. No one's keeping you here.
Have you ever unfriended somebody because you found what was on their page to be irreprehensible? I have too.
And I posted, if you feel so driven to use the word tard in any sort of incarnation, mm-hmm. whether it's the R word or, you know, libtard or stupidtard or whatever it is you're going to do, I'm done. I just don't need to see it. And, you know, you go ahead and you post whatever you want. I no longer want to see you in my feed. It's not digestible for me. Mm-hmm. And I just made that statement, and the same people can make that statement and then just remove those people that then fall into that category.
Right. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. I don't want to see a woman's breast in a mammogram machine and then unfriend me.
Even a blurred breast that you don't want to see. Now, what's wrong with that, for heaven's sakes?
I don't know. It was a fuzzy boob. Maybe that was offensive. Maybe because it wasn't the actual anatomically correct.
Well, and I thought you were smiling pretty, actually. You look quite nice.
It was awkward, you know. It's a weird angle to take. Mm-hmm. The technician's trying to duck out of the shot. Just doing my best. We are talking to Dr. Sandy Goldberg, and if you have any questions about Silver Lining Foundation, about your health, about nutrition, about what it means to take care of yourself and those in your community, give us a call, 312-981-7200. Again, that's 312-981-7200. After this, we're going to check in with the news on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late, and my guest, Dr. Sandy Goldberg, is the founder of a Silver Lining Foundation. And this weekend, Friday, July 15th, there's going to be the 12th annual Teresa Schuneman Memorial Golf Outing. And we'd love to have everyone join us. I'll be there for the dinner. There's going to be dinner and drinks at 6 p.m., but the shotgun starts at 1 p.m. This is a best ball scramble, which, by the way, Dr. Sandy, is really the only way to play. For me, it is. I'm not a regular player.
I am not a player at all.
Do you know the best ball means that you like the first person that hits off the tee, whoever drives it the farthest, then you go from there, and then the next best ball, and that's the only way I can play because I'm not that great.
No, all I have to do is remember what you said, and then we'll be okay.
Well, this is taking place at the Lynx at Carillon is that correct?
Carillon
in Plainfield, Illinois. Again, the shotgun starts at 1 p.m. It's a 4-person best ball scramble, and there's a dinner at 6 p.m. Dr. Sandy and I will be there for the dinner and drink.
Oh, be prepared, people. That's all I have to say.
We'll talk more about that when we come back. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Dr. Sandy Goldberg. She is the founder of Silver Lining Foundation, making sure that women who are uninsured or underinsured are taking care of their needs when it comes to breast health and other areas as well. Is it strictly mammograms and screenings?
What we do in terms of funding is breast health. What we
breast
do
health.
In terms of our outreach program, anyone who needs information or needs some sort of support regarding any kind of cancer, we have participating organizations that we can refer them to.
And when I call you, I've had a couple of situations where I've had to call you for advice, for guidance, for referrals. You are so kind, regardless of who that person is. And I know it's not just because you know me, you know that someone is in need. And I want to thank you so much for being there for so many families, for so many people who are scared, who have questions. And I know that I'm sure you've been thanked many times. I don't think you can be thanked enough. On my show, we were fortunate enough to have an interview with a woman who I knew very well, Kathy Owen. It's her birthday today, as a matter of fact. I spent time with her friends last night. We were we toasted and had some cake, and we were telling stories about our sweet Kathy. She was on my show actually about 2 years ago this summer. She had been diagnosed in her mid-30s, here's a little bit of her story, and just wanted to remember. That's what I was going to ask you. What would you say to other women who are going through this experience? Or just in general, what should women know about their bodies?
I just think, for one, it's important. Like, for me, I'm the one who found the lump both times.
Right.
I'm the one who pushed it with my doctors. Mm-hmm. And my doctors are amazing. They're great people. They're very well educated. It's just, I'm not the typical cancer patient.
Right. And none of us are until we become that cancer patient. They're going to tell us that we're not the typical ones.
Right.
You have to be your own advocate.
Absolutely. And I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew something was wrong. And I just pushed it. And I think that's important to know your body, do your exams. And if you think that something's wrong, definitely push it with your doctors.
Are so important. I actually, after Kathy was diagnosed, I was working at a gynecologist, and I talked to the doctor that I worked for about the whole thing, and she had lost her mother to breast cancer.
Oh.
And so she talked very much in depth with me, and one thing she told me was that so many gynecologists are getting away from even doing the breast exam because 9 times out of 10, it's the person themselves that finds it on their own.
I'm like feeling my breasts again.
A doctor very rarely finds the lump.
Really?
You will find the lump long before your doctor will.
We have a caller who wants to join the conversation. That's Kathy Owen and my friend Rihanna, who were here on the show 2 years ago. Kathy lost her battle to, and what are the words you even use? Kathy fought and was spreading awareness and love and wanted to make sure that people felt like they mattered, was why she was on the show. And when you hear that, you know, that her doctors, you know, didn't really think that she was the typical cancer patient.
We just had a 29-year-old woman diagnosed with breast cancer through a Silver Lining Foundation. We've had a 21-year-old. And that, again, goes back to the thing that, you know, here are the statistics. This is the way you're supposed to do it. Don't try to think outside the box. Don't go past the lines. Wrong, 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 wrong. Because what she just said, you know your body. You know your body better than anybody else. And you have to advocate for yourself.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. And when she mentioned I think Rihanna was talking about gynecologists aren't even doing breast exams anymore because 9 times out of 10, women are finding their own.
That I'm not quite so sure about. Many of the women that are referred to us, especially from the federally qualified healthcare centers we work with, the clinics we work with, the free clinics that we work with, many, many of the women, most of the women actually have had what's called a clinical breast exam. And there is some question. And better to get a test to rule anything out. Because that's really, you know, people, I'm getting a mammogram, I'm getting a diagnostic, I'm getting an ultrasound. Something must be wrong. You're trying to figure out what isn't there. You want to make sure it isn't there. That's the reason for the test.
Well, and there can be a lot of reasons why there's a question. I have, where is it where you're lumpy?
Where is it where you're lumpy?
What's it called? Fibrocystic
breast. Yeah.
Right. And they're dense. So I have to be a little particular. They're just bigger, like not masses, but they feel lumpy.
And if they feel lumpy, and you should also be watching your caffeine intake, too, if you have lumpy breasts.
That's not going to happen.
Lecture from Dr. Sandy. Here we go.
Does that affect the risk of breast cancer if I'm drinking caffeine, or is it
It just makes your breasts feel more uncomfortable.
Yeah. My breasts are uncomfortable.
Your breasts are uncomfortable.
they're big. You and I talked about this earlier.
We certainly did.
Does it make a difference to have a breast reduction on your likelihood of developing breast cancer?
No.
Okay, then I feel misinformed on that as well.
The important thing, again, is to make sure that you're talking to people who are objective and well-trained and have the most up-to-date information on the subject.
Okay. Because even
really
my GP said it would help me with the likelihood of breast cancer.
Are you uncomfortable?
My shoulders hurt.
Well, if your shoulders hurt, you're going to have less tissue. So obviously, if you have less tissue, that may impact it. But the most important thing, and you're right, I mean, having bra marks halfway down your shoulder, that's very uncomfortable. Having backache.
Tingling.
That's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I get tingling all the way down the arm because I lose sensation in this. Mm. Yeah. So we're looking into that.
Well, you have your big girls, and I have a girl and a half here, which also, and that's just sort of the way it goes.
Did you, when you were younger, were you self-conscious about your body? Because I think that also lends itself to women not wanting to get examined because they sort of feel weird about themselves.
Well, I was uncomfortable and self-conscious about my body because for many years I was morbidly obese. And then when I lost my weight, I discovered that underneath all of that fat, there was a body. And so I don't know if I was uncomfortable. It was just kind of new. I mean, you know, my butt wasn't hanging down to my knees anymore, and I could wear clothes and not pull on pants, you know, all those things, and not have to wear black unless I wanted to. So, of course, I do all the time now.
And you have a fantastic wardrobe now.
Ah, yes. Ah, yes.
Very
all
stylish.
Black. All black.
No,
yes.
You have everything.
Thank you.
It's the whole range.
It's the whole range of color.
That expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
And so when women who are uncomfortable with themselves, is that a factor in getting checkups because they're sort of embarrassed or it feels humiliating?
No, I think that there are a lot of reasons that women don't get breast checkups particularly. Number one, it's the, they may find something. That's
right.
One of the ones that drives me crazy. There's another one, of course, in terms of being able to pay for it or find an organization or find an institution that's going to do that for free. Also, a lot has to do with how you were raised.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of myths about breast cancer, hair dye, underwear, bras, deodorant. And then, of course, there's the women who unfortunately place themselves in the perspective that they're not going to be appealing to anyone else if, heaven forbid, something does happen and they have had to have surgery.
Right. So somehow that will affect their attractiveness.
Well, and there are stories in all candor of women who have been with a partner, mm-hmm. regardless of gender, and have had to go through surgery. And then the partner sometimes is not there. I was very lucky when I was diagnosed.
Because the partner just can't handle
right.
the stress of it.
Right.
And we mentioned this on the last appearance you had about men developing breast cancer.
Right.
And they need screening as well.
It was very interesting. There was, and in the show prior to you, there was a band that was playing and a young mm-hmm. man who was listening to us talk about mm-hmm. what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Everything from bra size to Lord knows what else. And he told us, remember, that his father had had breast cancer.
And he had some ideas as to why that might have happened. But but you told him, but they caught it.
That's the important thing.
That is the important thing.
And the incidence of breast cancer in men is rising. I mean, it's nowhere near what it is in women. But still, men can and do get breast cancer.
And you mentioned, too, that when people think of, well, I don't want to find out, the important thing is to treat. It's not to let it go and hope that it'll just – what do people think if I don't know about it, it's just going to go away?
They block it. But I will tell you, in all fairness, and you know, I know a little bit about the subject, and when I was diagnosed, I felt as though I had been hit by a truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're absolutely breathless for that second there, and then you have to figure out, okay, what am I going to do about it? But again, what's the culture that you were raised in? You know, what sort of education do you have? What kind of access do you have to information, to treatment? Breast cancer caught early now, 90%+ of women are going to go on to live a normal, healthy, full lifespan. The question is catching it early.
And the other thing is when you do catch it is not questioning yourself and not having regrets and thinking, what if I'd gone earlier? The important part is getting in to see somebody to take care of you.
But, you know, that is also, and I'm glad that you brought that up, Patty, is the importance of regular annual mammograms. My breast cancer developed from 1 year to the next.
Wow. Because we figure, I had one last year, I'm fine.
Exactly.
Right?
I'm especially getting older. It's nah, I don't need it. Yes, you do.
I didn't get it last year, I'm sure I'm fine this year. And the requirements or the recommendations for when you should have testing, because it's so confusing for women. It used to be every year for a pap smear or every other year for a mammogram. Like whether it's the insurance companies or the American Medical Association, what is it for breast cancer screening?
It should be average, okay, for women that have no family history, have never really had any issues, age 40. However, and this is a big however, if someone in your family was diagnosed, first degree relative, on your mother or your father's side, for some reason father's relatives seem to be lost in the mix.
Yeah.
Say, God forbid, your mother was diagnosed at age 45. You start getting tested 10 years younger at 35. But again, do your breast self-exams. That's very, very important. And if you feel something that's not quite right, you know, you get on that soapbox. You make sure that you get the testing that you need.
And you can go to a Silver Lining Foundation if you have questions, too. That's asilverliningfoundation.org. And you can learn more about the programs, about the services that they offer, the connections and referrals that they have. And this was established in, this is since 2006. So you're, is this your 10-year anniversary?
Well, actually, the foundation, my husband and I started in 2003. But this year, we started our mammography program 2006.
Oh, by a mammogram. That's what it is. It's 2006.
Our 10th anniversary.
Congratulations.
This year. Yeah, wow, that really feels good.
Over 11,000 men and women have received information about and access to services.
Yep.
Because of you.
Because there are a lot of people who believe in our mission.
And them too.
And I'm talking to one of them right now.
You know, our door is always open for anything that you need. And again, there's a fundraiser this weekend, this Friday the 15th, for the 12th annual Teresa Schuneman Memorial Golf Outing. That's TSMGO. And this is, again, with this is going to, proceeds are going to the Silver Lining Foundation.
Right.
And there's going to be links at the Carolyn in Plainfield. Shotgun starts at 1 p.m. It's going to be a four-person best ball.
Whatever that is that you meant. See, I told you, white hair, no memory. This is the way it goes.
You and I should be out there just driving the golf carts.
Ooh, just, now that's an idea.
We could be a menace out there.
We will definitely, because I'll drive into a tree or something like that.
No, I wouldn't let you. I'd cut you off before you got to the tree. There are going to be a complimentary dinner and drinks at 6 p.m. And let me find out, where can people get information about buying these tickets? Again, this is 21200 South Carolyn Drive in Plainfield. And can you find out
You know what? Just go to a Silver Lining Foundation's website, asilverliningfoundation.org. Mm-hmm. It's going to be right there. All you have to do is click on to the event, and you'll be able to get your tickets through us.
Come hang out with Dr. Sandy and I. Sandy Goldberg, Dr. I can't stop. More with Dr. Sandy when we come back on 720 WGN. And again, we encourage your calls and texts. If you have any questions or stories you want to share, we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Dr. Sandy Goldberg, the founder of a Silver Lining Foundation. Go to silverliningfoundation.org for more information about the services they provide. If you are uninsured or underinsured and have questions about your breast health, men and women, please, please do yourself a favor and those that you love. And go check out the foundation, the Silver Lining Foundation. And we have a listener on the line, Dr. Sandy, if we could do a call from Janice. Hi, Janice. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I think what you're doing is fantastic. I'm from a large family of cousins and my aunts and uncles. Anyway, the bottom line is two of my cousins had cancer. One was a man, one was a female. The female in her 40s had to have a breast removed, which she did, and everything came out fine. The man who had it, who didn't think anything of it, he was a man. He was never going to have to go get checked or anything like that.
Right.
And finally, his company put in a new rule that everybody had to go and have physicals, which he did. He had breast cancer, and he died a year and a half later because he had not had it checked sooner. So men can get it, and they should check. They think they don't, but they're still capable. And a year, 2 years ago, I went and I just found something on the side that just didn't seem right. But I got lucky. I had an infection in my lymph nodes. They took care of it with medication and radiation, and so I did not have to have a breast removed. But I still go. Well, now, right now, I'm going every 6 months, but I will, they said, and I'll start going every year again. I keep telling them I'm too old. I'm in my 70s.
You're not too old, stop it.
You are definitely not too old.
No. Nope.
That's what this woman said. I'm sorry, honey. She said, but you're not too old.
Nope. Not even by a long shot.
But you know,
friends, none of my friends go, and I tell them all, go. You don't know. It doesn't matter how old you are. go and have your husbands go. It's very important. We want to keep those guys around for
That's
a
right.
while.
You know, you brought up multiple points. Dr. Sandy here. You brought up multiple points that are really very, very important. You know, number one is the fact that men can and do get breast cancer. And you would be surprised how many people say, men, breast cancer? And I go, they have breasts. Number two is the fact that you were just talking about your friends. Too old. No, no, no. No, no, no. You must go on a regular basis to get it checked up.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah,
it does, especially with the men. Yeah, and I don't know what they think. They're just too manly, I guess, or something.
And it's not just men. I think that, as Dr. Sandy pointed out, it can be cultural. It can be personal reasons. Janice, thank you so much for sharing your story. And thank you for taking care of yourself and encouraging your friends.
One other quick thing.
Yes.
It doesn't hurt. And if it does hurt, it only lasts for a minute.
That's right.
What is 1 minute out of your life?
You're talking about the mammogram. I agree.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for all your help.
Of course.
Your work.
Well, you've helped too, Janice. Thank you so much.
Bye.
That was a great call.
Absolutely.
Absolutely a great call.
That's what happens when we have great guests.
Mm-hmm. Great callers, great hosts, great guests. But you really, she brought up points that really people are thinking. I mean, I remember one time I was giving a presentation and on breast health, and I used the word mammograms, and it was a mixed group, and men and women. And afterwards, a man came up to me, and he said to me, I'm a little embarrassed. I need to ask you a question. I said, sure. He said, what is a mammogram?
Okay.
And I explained, and he said, I feel like an idiot, but I don't know. Right. And I thought, this is part and parcel of what we talk about, the educative process that people need to know.
Right.
I was like, do you know what a prostate is? That's, you know, it's sort of similar, really, when we think about it. If we don't think about something in connection to us, we're less likely to be proactive.
Well, and I get into trouble or into situations where I am very adamant about using appropriate language when it comes to body parts.
Right.
And I, you know, I have no problem. And to the point where people perhaps are uncomfortable with it. But I think that when we make something taboo or naughty or scary, we diminish our ability to act like adults. I mean, I may sound like I'm being childish, but at the same time, I'm really addressing something that I think is important.
And you're addressing it in a way that people get it.
Right.
And what you want are for people to react. You do. Mm-hmm. You don't want people to
Oh, they react at it, Sandy.
I know they do, dear. I know they do.
But and I'll take it. I'll take the, you mm-hmm. know, the anger, but as long as even if it trickles through to somebody, that's the difference we make. That's the difference you've made tonight for somebody who maybe is in the dark, you know, really or metaphorically, and just thinking I'm too afraid. I'm afraid to go.
You're never alone. You're never alone. Can I give our phone number?
Please do.
Okay, Patty gave you our website. This is all wonderful. asilverliningfoundation.org. But, you know, feel free to call as well. And our number is 312-345-1322. Again, 312-345-1322.
And we'll post that, too. I'll post it on our Facebook page.
That's great.
Do you want to do it one more time?
Sure.
Yeah.
312-345-1322. And I want you all to have a vision of Patty and Dr. Sandy driving off in a golf cart.
Yes.
Together.
I think we should play chicken in our golf carts. We'll just drive at it. I wouldn't hit you. I would definitely let you have the way. I would clear
Thank
the path
you very
for
much.
You.
I appreciate that.
And she's talking about the 12th annual Teresa Schuneman Memorial Golf Outing. That's this Friday at Lynx at Carolyn in Plainfield. That's 21200 South Carolyn Drive in Plainfield. And the shotgun start is at 1 p.m., complimentary dinner and drinks at 6 p.m. And go to asilverliningfoundation.org for more information about this event.
Right, absolutely.
And let's not have you back next month or in the next few weeks, whenever you're
absolutely.
Available.
Absolutely. No,
when you
call
can
me,
stay
I
with
come.
Me. You call me. All right, then.
We'll call each other.
Let's do that.
Love it.
I like it. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we've asked Dr. Sandy Goldberg to stay with us because we had a text that Craig read a few moments ago and felt that it was important to address. And Craig, Let us know.
Yeah, from the 708, we got this kind of long text right at midnight as you were trying to walk out. So sorry. Thank you for staying. Dr. Sandy, is it common for women to have a high sensitivity to all different kinds of soaps and scents and detergents and all this hygienic stuff that's out there? You see it in the market everywhere. And I just worry that all the chemical things inside might be dangerous, or there might be some kind of sensitivity in using it in certain areas. Tell me if I'm too worried or if that's normal.
Well, it's a very good question, and as with many good questions, there is no simple answer.
Right.
That's really what it's about. I frankly like to take a look and use personally those items that don't have any formaldehyde in them. I just think it's very important. My skin is somewhat sensitive, regardless of what area of our physiology we're discussing.
Such great skin, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I would just buy. I would look at labels. I think that's very, very important. I stress that over and over and over, as you know, Patty. And personally, I believe in items that don't have any formaldehyde.
And I think that when it comes to, you know, we talk about the occurrence of diagnosis. I mean, part of that is that people, the technology has improved, but it's, you know, we also have to wonder how much of it is environmental or what we're consuming. The kind of, nutrition plays a big part, and perhaps the kinds of chemicals that treat our food or the processed foods that we eat.
We just got another text too, real quick. Sorry. This is from the 773. I am a Chicago firefighter widow. My husband died a few years ago from a mosquito bite. It was West Nile. I pay $900 a month for health insurance.
Ouch.
And mammograms are not covered by the insurance. I saw a billboard saying free mammograms for all women. They told me that I wasn't covered personally, though, because I have insurance.
That's a disgrace. And we see many times at Chicago firefighters, retired or widows or widowers of Chicago Police Department, the same thing, is mammograms are not covered. We had an instance of that the other day. The other day a woman called. And so, again, I tell you, pick up the phone, 312-345-1322. Originally, when we started our mammography program.
I have the same problem with that word.
I can't use the word mammography program. Mm-hmm. Is that we funded testing only for uninsured. Now we fund for underinsured. Mm-hmm. Because I'm absolutely convinced that there is some actuary sitting somewhere in a corner that is really the determinant as to what kind of health testing we all get.
That must make you absolutely batty when it comes to what the funding for breast health. Is it the stigma of it being a women's illness, or is it the lack of concern in the medical industry? I mean, where does that come from that it wouldn't be something that's covered?
My husband said probably the best thing I ever heard. And he said, the world is now run by bean counters.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, what is going on in our world today? It's the bottom line.
Okay.
It's absolutely the bottom line. I also think that many of the people, most of the people who are making the determination in terms of appropriate testing for the masses, for lack of a better word, are people who have insurance, who can go and get tested, who forget that there are other people in the world who can't pay $900 a month, who can't pay $90 a month, who are certainly entitled to get the same quality of care that they do.
Well, when you say that too, you know, I was thinking about our legislators who, you know, they're talking about being able to get their pay. You know, as we've been in this state budget crisis, you were mentioning off the air that you're kind of the last stop for some people because of the lack of funding in the state and federal funding.
I think, don't get me started on the state and the budget, but what I will tell you is there are many, many extraordinarily worthwhile organizations who are helping all kinds of people in all kinds of circumstances, health, housing, mental health, access to nutrition, children.
It goes on and on.
And they're having to cut back. They're having to stop services. They're having to lay off wonderful trained personnel. And many of them are having to close their doors because of this disgrace, frankly, that's going on in Springfield. And I guarantee you that every one of those legislatures, mm-hmm. every one of them mm-hmm. have health insurance. And if they need something, they get it.
Right. And I think that when you mentioned bean counters, that's the way I feel about our legislators. I mean, I'm friends with many of them on both sides of the aisle.
Same.
But, you know, they'll give you that look of like, you know, I talked to one representative last year who said, well, everyone's going to have to sacrifice. Really? We're going to start with our most vulnerable. We're going to start with people who are desperate for health care. We're going to start with those who are already frightened and in an emergency crisis mode.
Do you know that there is a program out there that was providing five meals or six meals a day to senior citizens,
mm-hmm.
and they cut back to four? What do you think? Because you're older, you don't get hungry?
The way they're trying to save money is asinine. I mean, there's no other way to describe it.
There's a question of saving money, and there's a question of really doing something that borders on criminal.
Yeah. Well, and people will tell you, well, we got to start somewhere. Well, we've been spending more than we can afford.
Start with your salary. Start with your pension. Start with paying for your own health insurance and see how it feels.
Yeah. Well, I think that you're right there. I want to stress again how important it is to seek out information from a Silver Lining Foundation. Dr. Sandy and actually some great people who I've talked to, both on the phone, who I've met in person, that you work with, the entire support crew that you have are really amazing. So many people that are devoted to making sure that people have access to healthcare, to information, to kindness, really. I mean, it's, and that sounds like such a weird thing to say, but we need access to kindness, Dr. Sandy.
We do. And it's really very sad because it is less and less and less in this world today. And part of it is because people feel they aren't worthy.
Yeah, you're worthy.
Everybody's worthy. Remember what my mother said. We're all family and we have to help each other through the tough times. And if you are going through a tough time, anyone you know is going through a tough time, you pick up the phone, you call us, you go on the internet, you know, take a look and see what we do. I promise you, if we can help, we will do so.
I believe that. And your number again?
312-345-1322. Do you know I love you, Pat?
I love you too. And we can, and everyone can find you at a silverliningfoundation.org as well.
Right.
And we hope to see everybody on Friday in Plainfield for the 12th annual Teresa Schuneman Memorial Golf Outing. That's TSMGO. Go to silverliningfoundation.org for more information about that. But the shotgun starts at 1 p.m. again at the Links at Carolyn in Plainfield. Dinner and drinks at 6 p.m. There'll be a raffle and auction during the dinner, and that's all going to help a Silver Lining Foundation.
Yes, it is.
And thank you for helping us.
And thank you once again for having me on and helping me spread the word.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk to Dr. Sandy sooner rather than later. So that was actually very soon. We said goodbye at midnight and then used to end it. So this was...
See
what we did. But we'll see you again very soon.
I look and forward to
and
it,
dear. My apologies to your husband for making you late.
Yeah, he doesn't mind. He's listening now.
Hi. What's that to say? Is that
hi,
him?
Greg.
Is that Greg in the silver car right there? No.
No, he's in a big black car somewhere.
All right. Everyone go find Greg.
We love you, Greg.
Music Monday after this at Magoo on 720 WG. Is that right? Okay. I do look like perked up like I said something wrong. It's Magoo after this on 720 WGN. Stephen Johnny sent him. It is Music Monday. It's Monday, right, Craig? Gosh, I've lost track already.
It's actually technically Tuesday, but no, it's Monday.
Don't start.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Do not start.
It's Monday.
It's Music Monday, and we are thrilled to welcome Magoo into the studio. Stephen Johnny sent you, and that's all we need to know. Here he is with paneling.
There is a man behind the wall. Says he really ain't trapped at all. He's got his heart, he's got his soul. Lord knows his mind raging out of control. So when will it be? That is the day when all the blind men will see. So don't shed no tears for me. There was a girl fell in a crack. Some say she'll never make it back. Got a heart full of peace and a heart full of soul. Where our minds go, nobody knows. So when will it be? That is the day when all the blind men will see. So don't shed no tears for me. There's a child out there in space, still has faith in the human race. He's got a mind full of peace and a heart full of love, a soul filled with rock and roll from above. So when will it be? That is the day when all the blind men will see. So don't shed no tears for me. His body is shackled, but his mind he roams free. She may be lost, you know, but someday her past she'll see. Please won't you be righteous, so someday might be all free.
Oh man, that is really, really good. And the lyrics.
He caught me off guard, Magoo. Nice. I was like, did you just yawn? That wasn't a yawn. That was a little. Was it a sigh? Why are you sighing? It was magnificent. And by the way, Steve King says hello.
Hey, Steve.
And that you rock. And I have to agree. I'm gonna go ahead and turn. I was on Facebook Live. I probably should have told you that's what I was gonna do. We'll come back later. My battery's dying. That was really what. Can we hear him from that microphone? I don't have my headphones on yet. But that is now. Do we go by why Magoo? By the way, is this a teasing from grade school?
No, it wasn't teasing. It was a high school nickname from my football coach. And then when I joined my old band, Hello Dave, there was three mics that all played guitar. So everyone kind of went by the nicknames.
So Magoo is your
nickname. Magoo stuck, yeah.
Why did your football coach call you Magoo? This doesn't sound like a compliment.
Oh, my last name's McGowan.
And
I didn't wear glasses until I was like 40. So,
so McGowan, is that a Scottish name?
It's like a weird mix, Irish and, yeah, but the H instead of the W.
All right, then. I don't know if they like being called a weird mix, but I'll take it. Really beautiful music and sort of the imagery that you conjure there is staggering. A child lost in space and the idea that, like there's something so sort of ethereal about what you're singing.
Thanks. That's a pretty old song, but I still love it.
It's new to me.
Right.
he's like apologizing for something that I'm complimenting, and this is uncomfortable.
Not at all.
Okay, Craig, were you going to say something?
Well, I just think the message was so powerful currently. So
yes,
it's interesting that you wrote that a long time ago, because a lot of what you just sang about made me think about stuff that happened in the last couple weeks and how powerful that idea is that there's people completely separate and young kids growing up that it was really awesome. That's what I'm trying to say.
Thank you.
What inspired your creation of the song originally? Too much? Am I opening a wound?
No, not at all. Well, it really just started with, I just get little sparks and then things kind of fall into place, but it really just started with, I had a couple knee surgeries and, I had to move back in with my folks when I was in my 20s for a little while to get through that. And I was in their basement, and I was looking at the paneling, and there was a man inside the wall. And at the time, you know, some of the other imagery was kind of...
You mean that in a sort of poetic way?
Well, yeah. Well, I looked at the wall, and if you like
sort of fake grain
without focusing, yes, yeah, that old wood grain paneling in the basement—that's why it's called paneling.
Patty was just confirming there was no trapped human inside the wall.
I just saw Stir of Echoes not too long ago, so you're freaking me out a little bit.
Like a dude's face, like please let me out, man. This is a really good song moment. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
and obviously that didn't really have anything to do with the song after that, but you know, about
the
trapped.
No, but it was the inspiration, sort of that jumping off moment of sort of being disconnected and wanting to connect.
Mm-hmm. Is it exactly?
Okay. Just making sure. I mean, it can mean anything you want. We all bring our interpretations.
Well, I really, I prefer to write songs that are left way open to interpretation. I like a great story, like, you know, really Robert Earl Keen writes great stories with like every character down to the colors of their shoelaces, you know, but and that's fantastic too. But I also like writing songs that are more, they're up to you. There's a message in there, and it's yours, not mine.
What kind of music spoke to you when you were a kid growing up?
The Grateful Dead was a really big influence on me. Mm-hmm. I also loved like James Taylor,
sure,
And that was like early on. Then I got in Steve Ray Vaughan and Jimi Hendrix and moved through guys like Todd Snyder and, like I said earlier, Robert Earl Keen, like some really great songwriters. I love the Wordsmiths. I love listening to them paint pictures with songs.
Do you create a time for yourself to sit down and write, or is it kind of something that's happening all the time as you go through your day, putting together ideas?
It got away for quite a while, actually. When Hello Dave was on the road all the time, it was really hard to write. It wasn't a good place for me to do it. And
it's got to be hard to explain to people, because do you get people who ask you, like, have you written something new or what are you writing? And you're like, you don't know what this is like to be somebody who wants to say so much and can't get the space or the time.
And I've done a really great job of accumulating half songs.
Right.
And the other night, for the first time in a very long time, I was going to bed. And instead of like, man, I'm tired, I know I have to get up early, and this little idea hit me. Spent an hour and I knocked out a new thing. I was hoping to have it, but I'm like, it's not quite ready.
Oh, that's what a great feeling, though.
But it was nice, yeah. And it's that gets the ball rolling. I'm working on a new project now with some friends who are all out on vacation. So all of our hard work.
That's not helpful.
No, it's not helpful.
No. But, you're like, hey, let's Skype. Let's get this done, everybody.
Yeah, we're hoping my buddy.
I'm not
Carlos
kidding. Make them
back.
Skype. If you're working on something, seriously, that's how you gotta get something. I don't care if you're on vacation. Give me 15 minutes. I gotta work on something.
Right. Yeah.
Beyond that, I think Patty wants them to Skype during the commercial break. Like right now, we should Skype and get this.
All right, get everybody else on.
Oh no,
Skype.
We don't have a commercial. I was just saying we don't actually have one until the news.
I'll make them Skype with you right now.
Yeah, let's do it now.
Sounds good.
Let's
call
them all.
Where are they vacationing?
Carlos is in Mexico. The full slab, the bass player, is over in Europe, backpacking around.
Do you get to vacation?
Not right now.
No? Someday. But someday, when was the last time you went on vacation?
Oh, my whole life's a vacation.
See? That's the thing about being a performer, isn't it? It's hard to explain to people. But for me, we have to make time for ourselves. We have to, like, just go, I'm going to take myself out of rotation. That's what it is. Mike, you got to take yourself out of rotation.
All right.
Can you promise me?
I will. Well, there's a really good plan to go out to California for a couple weeks in the spring.
Okay. Spring? It's summer now. That's next year.
That's a really cool
trip. I'm holding you to that. I'm going to Skype with you while you're on vacation in spring.
Perfect.
Are you going to be renting an RV? What's the
Original
camping?
Plan was actually hopefully from San Diego to wine country in a Volkswagen camper.
Okay. Oh, see, I like that. All right. I want to make sure, promise me that's going to happen.
Well, the wheels are in motion.
I think that people are skipping vacation. They're skipping, like I said, taking themselves out of rotation. That means you're not accessible. Just not, you're not available. Your friends are not available right now. Your other bandmates are not available right now.
So. Well, I take very good daily vacations from from my devices, which I feel is very important.
Daily?
Well, yeah. I don't, my phone, my ringer is never on.
Okay.
Unless I'm expecting a call. Like if I have to get something done, I'll turn it on. But for the most part, going through my day, I feel like if you let that interrupt what you're trying to do. Unless if you're someone that has to, I understand.
I don't know what you're talking about. What? We just went Facebook Live a few minutes ago. Let's see what happens next. We are hanging out with Magoo. Some more music. More music after
sure.
The news. All right, let's do some more music with Magoo. Where are you performing next? Do you have any dates we should know about?
I do. I'm playing at the House of Blues this Friday in the Foundation Room.
Okay.
From 6 to 8. And I'm doing the Schaller Scramble, another fundraiser. And for... Pete Schaller, a friend of mine that I went to high school with, passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And his friends have set up this great foundation. Chase, my buddy's son, had the idea for it. And it's August.
August. 1st, okay.
And it's up in Mundelein, and they're going to play golf. And you can just show up and for drinks and dinner also, if you just want to do that, if you're not a golfer.
Those are my favorite golf outings. Just show up for the dinner and drinks. I want to drive a cart before I do the dinner and drinks.
Perfect.
Love the golf cart.
Real quick, from the 262, we're already getting song requests from Magoo. They want him to play In the Garden or Soulshine.
In the Garden or Soulshine. We're getting requests for you.
Okay. Magoo.
We'll see what we can get to. We got to talk about Slurpees later. I don't know about this. You're listening pretty late. And it's Music Monday. Magoo, if you want to take it, do you want to do a song now? I don't even know what song
to do. Yeah, I'll do a song for sure.
All right, then. I don't want to like pressure you or anything. John Craig has joined us because it was a free Slurpee day. And this is a man who is going through hashtag, what is it, 100 Slurpees?
100 days of Slurpees.
Yes. And I want to know how your day went, because if I had been in front of you in line at the 7-Eleven, your head would have exploded. I did not know about the lid thing until after I saw your post. I'll have to show you a picture of what happened to me. Right now, Magoo is singing.
I'm going to take care of that request. I'm going to do In the Garden.
In the Garden. Here's Magoo.
In the garden is where it started. First time that I'd seen the sunshine on her face. It was late September, as I remember. That warm sunny night, feeling out of place. I didn't even know her name. She wouldn't have told me just the same. I was digging her style when I first saw her smile. You know the kind of smile that came from in her eyes. It rang like mountains of musical fountains, and its echoes had me mesmerized. I bet in her car she sings like a rock star, and it sounds like angels being backed by birds. She so proud that she sings them out loud, while the others merely mouth the words. And I didn't even know her name. She wouldn't have told me just the same. Why do all the beautiful girls always seem to live in other worlds? Why should I even try when she's probably got some other guy? Ha, 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 ha. Started grieving, I saw her leaving. What had never started now was going to end. This was my last chance to reach for romance. But she'd probably ask me, can't we just be friends? I didn't even know her name. She wouldn't have told me just the same. Why do all the beautiful girls always seem to live in other worlds? Why should I even try when she's probably got some other guy? Hi, 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 hi. Wanna punch him in the eye.
Yeah, that's Magoo wanting to punch some guy in the eye because that girl's living in another world.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
Thank you.
I can see why it was requested. How long ago did you write that song?
That's another old one.
It's another old one? Yeah. Not from the parents' basement days?
No, after that.
After that?
Yeah, after that.
Do you have is that your timeline? Pre and post basement days when you had to have surgery?
Yeah, I started playing guitar pretty late. I actually didn't really start playing guitar until I was about 20.
Really?
Yeah. I played drums, and I sang, and was in the show choir.
Do you have to do jazz hands when you say
to.
Show choir?
You do,
John Gray, did you see that?
That's required.
That was very, it was very nice. It was actually one out, one in. I kind of like, this is a new move.
It's things like the show choir are reasons I'm glad I grew up without social media.
Is that right? Oh, because there's no No evidence?
There's a VHS out there somewhere.
I see.
We could upload that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we can take care of that for you. Where did you go to high school?
Glenbrook North.
Okay. Yeah. All right. There's an alert out to Glenbrook North. Go through all the archives. Find us some photos and videos of show choir.
I'd love to see it. Chung Sewell and I were the only football players in the show choir.
Nice. Well, that's kind of like, that's very Glee of you.
Sure. Pre-Glee.
Pre-Glee? You were ahead of your curve. You didn't even know. What were some of the favorite numbers you did for show choir?
Oh, boy.
See, the fact that nothing just like jumps out at you.
Pecans and walnuts and hazelnuts.
I don't know what's happening right now.
It's some Christmassy thing. I don't know. It was terrible.
No, it sounds great. I don't listen to all those voices in your head. Yes, Craig, do you know Pecans, Walnuts, and...
Oh, it's such a good song. The walnuts and the other stuff.
It sounds very festive.
Mm-hmm. It's very festive.
Very festive.
Right. The chimney.
So show choir, drums as a kid. What made you pick up the guitar?
I wanted to go to Colorado and ski after high school, mm-hmm. and my folks said I had to go to college. So I went to
so Winona. Picky. Parents are picky that way.
Know.
I don't know. What is that?
I went to Winona State, and I, much to their chagrin at the time.
Not great skiing in Winona State.
I did take skiing class, though, at Mount La Crosse.
Okay.
Lovely Mount La Crosse.
It's not bad along the river. I guess there's some spots there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I played rugby and picked up my buddy. I basically stole my buddy Rob's guitar and... Well, I borrowed it. He didn't play it. He had a Bob Dylan book and an acoustic guitar, and I just...
And you were not impressed with his ability?
No. And, and people weren't very impressed with mine for a long time. I had roommates who used to hide my guitar all the time from me because I'd want to play during like sporting events and things.
So how much time did you devote then to get from there, from picking up the guitar at 20, to being as elegant and proficient as you are now?
One of the key things was that back to the knee surgery days, I mean, that was months and months of not being able to do anything. So I'd play like 10 or 15 hours a day.
What?
Yeah, I would have friends.
That'll do it.
I had like friends that were in school, like kind of wanted to learn how to play guitar. So I'd be like, okay, play those two chords, mm-hmm. and I'm going to learn the Blue Sky solo by the Allman Brothers, you know? And
okay.
We'd do that for hours.
Sure. And how about writing lyrics, though? Lyrics and music. I mean, it's one thing to pick up a guitar and say, I'm going to learn how to play this and get a book and maybe figure out the chords. It's another thing to then move along. I don't care how many hours you're playing.
I really liked, I also was really into poetry when I was younger. I don't read nearly as much as I did now, but nearly as much as I did then.
Mm-hmm.
But I just loved words. I've always loved words.
Do you have any, because I was, you know, there's the classics, obviously, and then, you know, sort of going forward, like it was funny when I would date somebody and I'd be like, read these poems, and that's how I knew if I liked a guy or not, if they would put up with my reading poetry.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorites that you still kind of have on the shelf that you haven't even read in a long time?
Yeah, I really liked McCavity the Mystery Cat, and I think that's T.S. Eliot, maybe.
Yeah,
and also what was the other one, The Story of Prufrock.
Isn't it funny? Like, we know that we like poetry, and I'm trying to remember, like, I loved Emily Dickinson and you know, Browning, and there's a lot of people that I loved. And then I want to say it's Marge Piercy was one of my favorite poets when I was in college.
I really like Robert Frost, and mm-hmm. there's a...
Carl Sandburg.
A Native American named Marion Marmon Silko.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote one of my favorite. It's like, where mountain lion lay down with deer. It's better to stay up here. It's like one of my favorite poems.
Oh, there you go. Now I feel like it's like a read. Do you like poetry, John Craig?
No, I do not. I'm very literal minded.
Mm-hmm.
So,
annoying. So you find it annoying a little bit?
Generally, yes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way to put it, is that I don't think anyone's ever said that. I'm literally minded, so when you use all these metaphors and similes and try to get all grandiose, it annoys you.
Yeah, waving one of those in front of me is like waving a red flag in front of a bull in a chest. No, that's maybe too... No, maybe not.
John Craig, well, how should we introduce you besides our... I said Slurpee King. I don't know if
I should have worn my crown if I was going to be Slurpee King.
I know. That's probably why I use the moniker King. But 100 Days of Slurpees.
Yes.
Hashtag 100 Days of Slurpees.
100 Days of Slurpees.
You're on a quest this summer.
Sort of. It started just off as a joke because people were going to do 100 days off yoga or 100 days of, you know, running a mile or whatever. And I said, I will do the opposite and do 100 days of something that is probably not good for me.
And how's that going for you?
Fine so far. No diabetes.
I know. I feel like we should have them
tested. Are you on a quest for all the different flavors of Slurpee? Because every 7-Eleven has that one flavor that none of the other 7-Elevens have.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I usually go with just plain Coke, and I'll mix in either cherry or the raspberry.
100 days the same flavor?
Yeah, and I vary the sizes up. Usually on Saturday I'll get a larger one because I need the caffeine to get through the rest of the evening. But yeah, most of the time it's just one of those variations on Coke with something else. Though I did have the blue, was it Mountain Dew Blue Blast or something, half an hour ago because some friends were in from out of town.
You didn't have birthday cake?
No, that sounds like a terrible idea for a pick with.
Are you talking about Baja Blast?
No, it's not Baja Blast. Okay. It's something else. I think I posted the name on Instagram.
I want to know what it is.
Well, for those of you who don't know, and Mike Magoo, I don't know if you know that today was, now over 45 minutes ago, was free Slurpee Day at 7-Eleven.
I saw that.
And I happened to get into the 7-Eleven right down here on Hubbard during sort of a lull. There were only like two or three people in front of me. And as I was completing my disaster, by the way, John Craig, it's a little cup. That comes out fast.
It does.
That's you can't mess around with those machines. Open, close.
Yeah, they fill up real quick.
Here's my empty cup, and then here's filling it up, and there's the disaster,
overflow.
And
yep.
Too much.
Immediately.
And my phone still is sticky, so it's got a lot of Slurpee all over it. Are you a Slurpee fan, Mike?
I can't say that I partake in the Slurpee very often.
Well, since it's been a while, and if you do, we need to talk about something very important when we come back, and of course that's brain freeze. I had to Google afterwards how to alleviate the pain, and I wish I didn't have to do it after. I was like walking around the 7-Eleven going, "Make it stop! Make it stop!" More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. It is Music Monday, and we are so happy to have Magoo in studio with us. And Steve and Johnny say the kindest things, and they send their love as well, by the way. Here he is with Alone.
Had to clip my wings, keep away the bee stings and abide in dread. Up and down this swing, feeling the phone rings all day. This is what it means to be alone. Lights are on. At home, the more I live, the more I lie, and the more I lie, the more I die. Had to turn my loud down, on this world my world brown with a wicked hum. I'm searching for my own sound, desert where the sun drowned, fear in what's become. This is what it means to be alone. The lights are on. No one's at home. The more I live, the more I lie, and the more I lie, the more I am. Thank you. There isn't much to do here, say the voices in my ear as they scream and shout. I hope they had their fun, cause it's a battle that I've won. I'm gonna show them all the door and let them out. So this is what it means to be alone. Lights are on, my cover's blown. The more I live, the more I lie. The more I lie. Here I lie, and here I died.
Yeah. That's Magoo. Been hanging out with Mike tonight. And where can people find your music online? You've handed me a CD, and I feel like I should be able to let people know where to get their share.
I'm embarrassed to say that I've tried to upload it twice and it didn't work, so I just kind of gave up.
He sounds like me. I'm the worst at are you just the worst at marketing yourself?
It's not my forte.
It's not your forte. I love it. We need to have someone help you build your forte.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's not your forte.
It's it's medium eagerness.
It's the thing is that you have such great music. That's what you're really focused on, right? And by the way, this is great cover art as well. Did you do this yourself?
Thank you. Yeah, that was taken in Washington Island, and I did all the little
up in Door County.
Yeah,
I've been there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a great got to take the ferry over there.
Yeah, a friend of the family has a cabin that was built in like 1870 something.
Nice.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that's a great place. Yeah, there's a lot of great it's hard to explain to people because Door County is obviously a great artist sort of destination. A lot of tourists come there from Chicago because we don't have anything close enough except for Wisconsin. But yeah, Washington Island is spectacular. And how often do you get a chance to go up there? You said you don't go on vacations.
I went there once.
Once?
Yeah.
You got the whole album cover.
Yeah, it was
I kind of love that. The friends don't let you borrow the cabin anymore. What'd you do? What'd you do allowed to go back?
That picture was actually an accident. I was walking out to the end to take a picture. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend took that picture.
Oh, it looks really
good. And it turned out to be the best one. Actually, one of my favorite pictures I've done since that is I took that part where I'm walking out with a pier. Mm-hmm. And I put the Chicago skyline from North Avenue.
Right.
We used to live right there. So facing back, you see the skyline. And then, like, I'm walking out the pier.
You stopped walking, right? You didn't, like, walk into the water with your guitar?
Or on it.
I want to see that one with the North Avenue short. Was it the North Avenue shoreline with the mm-hmm. pylons and everything?
Yeah, I'll send that to you.
Yeah, please do.
Home for sure.
I would love to see that picture. That's Magoo. And apparently you can't find his music anywhere. Is there... what do you mean I can't find your music
anywhere? There's a website, magoomusic.com. I know he doesn't update that too frequently, but that is out there. He's on Facebook.
If you and I consolidated our unupdated websites, we would get nowhere as quickly as we are now.
Oh, my website's brutal.
I can't. People are always looking for my dates. Stephanie Menendez, one of our bosses, is always asking where I'm going to be, and I'm like, I don't really know. Jack Craig, he just called me. He sent me an email saying, hey, what kind of tech do you need? And I'm like, for what?
That show that's on my calendar?
Yeah, that you're performing at Stage 773.
I'll be doing a patty melt on July 20th, it turns out. And on August 17th, I'll be doing a patty melt on my birthday.
All right.
Which I think seems appropriate.
That seems about right.
I actually did a mini patty melt. Now that I'm doing them for 45 minutes to an hour at Stage 773 every month, mm-hmm. I'll also be doing them at Snapshots on Monday, the third month, what Monday is this? The second Monday? What Monday would you count this as? Whatever Kevin Naughton's got going on at Zany's on Wells, I'm doing Snapshots. So I did a Pokemon Go conversation tonight. And I also did a Game of Thrones conversation. I found out something very fast. Do you watch Game of Thrones, Mike?
I have not.
You have never?
No.
And do you find that there are people who mock you or are surprised you don't watch it or like try to egg you on to watch it?
Yeah, there's so many shows.
There's factions.
Only so much time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. John, do you watch?
No.
And
No,
but I said I don't watch it. All I said was I don't want. I was talking about what people get annoyed by. Like, I'm not annoyed by Pokemon Go, right? I get it. Go ahead and do your thing. If that's your, you know, I'm not going to. What did Tamale Sepp say? I'm not going to yuck your yum.
Yeah.
yeah. I'm not going to yuck your yum. Go do what you do. And I said, like, I don't watch Game of Thrones. I said that and people started clapping. And apparently they also find it a little bit annoying when their friends give them a hard time for not watching Game of Thrones. My problem with Game of Thrones is there's a lot of mud. It's a very muddy show.
Fair enough.
Exactly. They walk around and all I hear is... And it grosses me out. And then I start getting I get the sensory issues. I imagine they all smell because I didn't bathe very well at the time. And I know that okay, there's my horn.
Any period piece, that's what gets me the most.
It's right?
What did it smell? I had to smell
so
bad.
Well, I don't know why our brains go there.
I agree 100%.
They had no indoor plumbing. They had no running water. They weren't, it's all wool. There was no deodorant. I'm just saying there's a lot of things going on.
I ask those questions and the people that do watch it that are trying to get me to watch it get mad when I ask those questions. They say, just enjoy it. And I say, that distracts me. I cannot enjoy it.
I can't. It's very messy.
Yeah.
You guys should all just watch the show. All of you just watch the show right now.
You have three people in the studio pretty much having the same.
And Esmeralda's up there not
she
watching
watches.
The show.
No, she watches.
I watch, but I'm not all freaking out about it.
All right. That sounds a little judgy. That tone sounded a little judgy.
No, it's not judgy. It's just, you know.
It's a good show and all, but I don't fangirl out about it.
Although, oddly, I've watched every episode of Orange is the New Black, and I'm not worried about how that smells.
No, and it smells terrible in prison, too.
It smells really... They've actually had conversations on the series, in the series.
They've intended to smell bad.
They've talked about how it smells like old lady stuff. Anyway, so... This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. You're welcome to come sit down and hang out with us for another segment if you just want
to
chat with us.
Sure, I'd love to.
We're going to talk about Slurpees and Pokemon Go in the next segment. We're not doing Game of Thrones.
Was that Game of Thrones? We're doing Game of Thrones?
We're not doing Game of Thrones.
I think we're talking about Game of Thrones.
Tatey is here tomorrow night.
I'm so excited.
Isn't the season over?
Yeah, it's over.
We talked to Tatey after the season was over.
I know. We did everything.
Yeah, Michael Silver mentioned that app that spoils things for you, and I signed some people up for it.
Did you really?
I did.
That's spectacular. I love that.
I will do a lot of things out of spite.
That's great. By the way, not out of spite, but out of gratitude, I want to thank Bob Ferguson for always making our musicians sound so spectacular. Thank you, Bob Ferguson. Thank you, Bob Ferguson. Can't thank you enough. That was great. And every Monday night we do Music Monday, and he is our savior. Is that sacrilegious to say that?
No.
If
I worship
saves
at the
you,
altar of Bob Ferguson.
I will worship at the altar of Bob Ferguson as well. Thank you, Bob Ferguson. And I don't know if I would impose that on somebody to spoil a show that they liked. Revenge is actually kind of sweet, isn't it? And that's kind of a fun revenge.
If they're the kind of person that insists that you watch it after you tell them that you don't care about it.
Oh,
then yes, I will do that.
Who insists that you watch anything?
I'm not going to say any names because I don't want them to know that I've signed them up for it for when the next season starts.
Oh, Craig, look out. Wait, what?
It'll be fine. I'll work with
it.
I probably spoiled it for myself. I'm not one of those. By the way, from the 847 real quick, a hello to Magoo from his freshman algebra teacher. Does he know that three of his algebra classmates are now current teachers at Glenbrook North?
What is happening? Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me find your mic. There you go.
I had no idea.
Wait. What? Who's your algebra teacher at Glenbrook North? You don't even know? Oh, identify yourself. Teach. I don't think that any of my teachers from high school would ever. Has any of my teachers ever texted into the show? I've been doing this show for 3 years. Nary a teacher from Lane Tech has piped up and said anything about you're on the show for less than an hour. And you've already got your, it's the life of Magoo.
Yeah, you never know. I actually had a career in radio before I started music, and I gave you a shoulder shrug as an answer. That's just great, right?
Yeah, I don't see Mrs. Watt calling in or texting and saying, hey, you were really terrible at geological sciences. I don't see any of my teachers. Mr. Rogers. You were an excellent journalism student. I'm so glad to see that you didn't follow through. By the way, let's address this before we go on to Slurpees. Because the fact that I'm going to talk about Slurpees actually is a good reflection of what I do as a talk show host. There was a complaint about Brian Noonan that because he was filling in for Ro Khan last week, saying that he was not a journalist because he talked about himself. Count how many times he says I or me. And I really, well, one, he spelled Brian Noonan's name incorrectly, and that was bothersome. But two, we're not journalists. Why would you think that a talk show host is a journalist? And I'm not here to report anything. I'm talking about Slurpees.
We have a news department that does newscasts. Rob, that's where the news comes from.
Who can complain about Brian Noonan?
I'm saying.
Come on.
Why would you complain about Brian Noonan? He's a good dude. He wore a kilt on Saturday. Not a lot of men can do that in public. I'm just saying. Yes. So continuing our conversation about free Slurpee Day. I apologize if it's now too late for you to enjoy such Slurpees. But I did, for the first 7 years, enjoy a Slurpee. And Mr. John Craig is the Slurpee King, so we decided to invite him in tonight to tell us about his experiences, because he is an expert at this.
Thanks for having me. I don't know, maybe expert, but sure.
You're an expert. How many days in are you on the 100 Days of Slurpees?
31 and a half.
That's a lot of Slurpees.
Yeah, I did. I had two Slurpees in the last 24 hours, so I'm adding that as a half.
What size Slurpee
Wait,
do you...
Wait, yes. Gonna you're going to not do a half day, then how is that going to impact the end of the 100 days?
The one that I posted is 31.5.
Okay.
So later today / tomorrow after I wake up will be 32.
Got it. So at some point you're going to have a half Slurpee?
No, I had 31 was yesterday.
Right.
Or Monday.
So you're going to do 100.5 is what you're saying. You're not going to lose a Slurpee or a half Slurpee.
Oh, no. I'm gaining like half a Slurpee somewhere.
There are no regulations or judges monitoring his progress.
This one was added because I had a friend in from out of town that really wanted a picture with me with the Slurpee, sure. But I had already done my free Slurpee Day picture, so I did an extra one, but it wasn't after midnight, so I posted it and just tagged it as an extra 31.
We should call back my algebra teacher to straighten this out.
Yes, I think you're right about that. X plus Slurpee.
I don't
yes.
know if at some point tonight John wants us to discuss this, but Forbes did put out an article that said the sugar and chemicals in your free Slurpee, there is nothing in the Slurpee that even remotely resembles real food.
Oh, good, because anytime I eat like real, natural, unprocessed food, I tend to break out in hives.
So. Oh, there you go. Anything that's organic
yep.
or grass-fed.
Oh, yeah, forget that.
Yeah, no.
They go through a whole list of the ingredients in said Slurpees, though. They're not nice.
Does it just say delicious?
Delicious.
It should.
Okay, so how do you, now 31.5 days in,
sure.
No brain freezes?
No.
None. Have you ever in your life had a brain freeze?
Oh, yeah, definitely when I was younger. I would just try to drink as much of the Slurpee as quickly as I could, and then I would get a brain freeze.
He's a professional now, though, so that's not...
I'll say I'm semi-pro.
Okay.
I'm not being paid for this, so unless 7-Eleven wants to like sponsor me, maybe, but as of now, semi-pro.
Semi-pro Slurpee aficionado.
Sure.
Oh, we like that.
I don't know if we can call him an aficionado, though, because he prefers just one Slurpee.
That's true.
Sommelier Slurpee.
Yes. What goes well? Do you get they get like little taco things? They got like the hot dogs?
Oh, no. I would never eat one of those heated up.
Me neither.
Never. I have.
Yes, me too.
And I will never again.
I used to work at a Radio Shack next to a 7-Eleven. Oh. That's when you know your life is going in the right direction.
Are you guys talking about the taquitos? Or
the taquitos,
yes. Yeah, 7-Eleven's taquitos.
Well, yeah, you gotta love those little like rotating burners. I don't even know what that is.
The slow heat lamps, yeah. Mm-hmm. Travis, the accountant for State 773, will sometimes say, "Can you pick me up 3 taquitos?" And I will look at him with this look of disgust and then bring him 3 taquitos and hope he doesn't die.
Mm, it's very sad. Yeah. Have you ever tried the taquitos, John? Mike?
You know, I ate a lot of high-octane garbage on the road,
yeah.
But I had never went that far.
I limit to the...
Not once.
The off-the-beaten-path high-octane garbage. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I do. When I'm on the road, I like to go... You know, I like to get garbage you can't get anywhere else. I'm with you.
Right?
True. No, it's true. What, Craig...
Look. I just thought of another slogan for the show. I like to get garbage you can't get anywhere else. Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Sign and approved.
I don't think that's appropriate, but not appropriate. There are, you know, delicacies across the country that are not healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I saw the other day on a menu, I was like, I screamed, "Ooh, they have poutine." I was very excited. You should not be excited about gravy and sort of some sort of like grilled meat on your fries.
You should always be excited for gravy.
You're right, but
from the 630, are you guys going on roller food?
What's roller food?
I guess some sort of roller coaster of food, I think, is the joke they're making there.
Or are they, I think they might just call them rollers because they're the little
spinning. Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Oh, the heat rollers. Yeah. Yes.
This text was good. We could all define our own meaning from it. Yeah. This was
nice. We'll take what we need from that. I appreciate it. So yesterday, Monday, was free Slurpee day. I got mine from the 7-Eleven right here in Hubbard. Yours over by Stage 773.
Yeah, Belmont and Racine. I got mine there.
And you went with the...
I went with the Coca-Cola was completely out because it had a little red light was on, which is fine. So I went with the blue raspberry.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. Was that did it meet your needs?
It was a Slurpee.
That's a tiny, though.
It was a pretty small Slurpee.
Compare what size you usually get.
I will usually get, I don't remember the ounce size that it is. I'd have to look it up. But it's the largest size cardboard before it turns into the translucent plastic. So okay. It's
before the one you can jet ski in.
Yes.
The one that you can only go skinny dipping in.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
The jet ski one is for Saturdays.
It's a long day.
Yeah, you got a splurge.
It was only after I had had my Slurpee that I saw your post about the those that are not well-versed in Slurpee dispensation, because I didn't put a lid on my first. Why would you put a lid on the Slurpee first when you're filling your cup?
Oh, my God.
It prevents...
Do you do that, Craig?
I did that today when I got my Slurpee at Western and Peterson.
Yeah. Where did you learn this? I mean...
What do you mean, where did we learn it? It just seems like common Slurpee culture.
The lid goes first?
Yeah, lid first and then you fill
it. Lid first.
There's a pretty big opening in
the
lid.
It seems to perfectly fit on the
spout.
Mm-hmm. And you get more Slurpee.
You really do. So this started in high school for us where we would get the biggest Slurpee. We wanted the most Slurpee for our money because we were high school students.
Yep.
So you would slowly fill the Slurpee and you'd sort of shake rotate the cup to let it settle.
Yep.
And it would fill up as it went. And then this lid would already having been on there, you could then fill up that dome as well.
Correct. The dome gets full all the way and then a little bit pokes out.
Yep.
So there's a little bit of physics involved. Mm-hmm. You have to let it settle a little bit. You stop and go.
You don't have to. I saw some people today using the smaller free Slurpee cups that did not account for the fluffiness of the Slurpee, and they did put the lid on, but then they took it away, and the Slurpee then expanded out of the cup.
Yeah, common mistake.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening, Esmeralda.
I don't know where I found out about that.
Did you put the lid on first?
Yeah.
I also don't remember how I learned to walk or read. It just seems like something that I know how to do.
It gets too messy if you don't put the lid on.
I so infrequently buy a Slurpee.
Because it'll splash.
I think today's was my fourth in my life.
Oh, we'll have to fix that.
I'm pretty sure that's all. I always see the machines and I'm like, that seems like fun. And you see it's like spinning around and there's work going on in there.
Yeah.
But no. And so perhaps that's why I immediately, just one sip, just one draw on the Slurpee, brain freeze. It was brutal. Yes, Craig.
I have a question for John. Is John a Slurpee only guy? Do you like the icy?
I enjoy an icy or slush puppy.
I'm
or
sorry.
Some variation thereof.
Okay.
What?
So it's not just the Slurpee.
What's an icy?
It's the major difference from what I can...
The polar bear.
Yeah.
Yes, the polar bear.
And then the slush puppy has like a cartoon dog that looks sort of like Droopy, but he's a all white... I guess bloodhound.
Yeah,
with like
correct.
A little blue cap and a little blue sweater.
Where are we getting icies and slush puppies?
Slush puppy is the worst one, by the way. If we're ranking them,
yeah,
yeah.
Is it?
I got a slush. I still have a slush puppy mug, like a plastic mug, where the slush puppy logo is completely worn off. So it's just white with a blue handle. But it was from probably sixth or seventh grade.
But what establishment? Not from
like Bob's Gas.
It was a campsite up in Wisconsin for like Cub Scouts. We went up to. Oh, Camp Napawan? Sounds right. Anyway.
We'll accept that as an answer.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Just somewhere up in Wisconsin, and the trading post / general store that they had slush puppies.
That'd be a great day.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the trading post, and there's a slush puppy?
Yeah.
Oh.
Icy's are burbs.
Yeah, Icy's are a burb thing.
Yeah, I actually, we didn't have a 7-Eleven in Joliet.
What?
Until I was like in high school. We did have.
They're banned.
But we had Joliet's white, we had white hen pantry.
Okay.
White Hen Pantry had the Icy's with the polar bear.
I don't know why I was never drawn to these. I had a White Hen Pantry on Northwest Highway as well, which is now a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they got bought out.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, the actual difference is mainly the consistency or like the size of the ice chunks. The Slurpee is the most finely ground.
Okay, so how are these different than snow cones?
A snow cone doesn't, it's not as liquidy. and it's generally larger granules.
Well, and it's just ice with some
syrup.
Yes, yeah. Syrup squirted on top.
Which is basically a slush puppy. Slush puppies.
Yes, Craig. Yeah.
I'm just so glad at how much of an expert he sounds like, because there was a moment in there when he was describing the consistency of the ice, and I just, wow, that is really excellent reporting.
I'm really good at BSing stuff.
I save it for margaritas when it comes to my frozen or a nice pina colada.
Yeah, those are, I agree. Although I'm more of a margarita on the rocks, which obviously not the consistency of any. Now, a snow cone margarita, I think, do that.
Sure.
Everyone's nodding like, yeah, no. I could do that too. That would be fine. Just some finely ground ice as opposed to,
can you booze up a Slurpee?
Of course you can.
Can you?
Well, I know you can.
Probably John's, should if you're of 21 or older. Yes.
John's standing on a crate at the 7-Eleven just pouring in some booze into the machine.
No, that's way too much booze. I have definitely, there is, Michael Silver could probably tell you the name of the establishment, but there's a bar in Boys Town that has alcoholic Slurpees or their variation.
Slushies.
Thereof.
Wait, yeah. There's slushies. Wait, slush puppies.
Mm-hmm.
And there are
Icies. I'm sure there is something called a slushie as well.
There's got to be a slushie.
Yeah.
I'm not making these words up.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it feels like
someone
it.
Made it up. So yes.
All right.
You can get a glue wine. Or a glog slushy over at Simon's in Andersonville in the summer.
There you go.
How do you think we're spelling slushy? Like double E?
Slush.
Yeah. Slush. Yeah. S-L-U-S-A. Okay.
Slushy USA is a website.
That might have a trademark.
What's your position on the Mr. Misty?
What?
The Mr. Misty? I don't know if I've had that.
What's a Mr. Misty?
I'm pretty sure that's from Dairy Queen. Yeah.
Oh, when I go to Dairy Queen, I just end up getting a Blizzard or ice cream. Yeah. So
Blizzard.
I've had a Mr. Misty, and there's a lot of water. They're not anywhere near the slushy level.
They're floats, too, aren't they? Are they floats?
That's
the
Mr. Misty Freeze. Right. I only know this because I was employed there when I was 13.
Fair enough. I'll add it to my list. I'll check that out.
I feel like I now need to do like an entire like ice, just sort of. We have to have somebody in. Yes?
Slush E is a company that sells slushy machines. We could just ask for one. We should get a pretty like slushy machine.
Do they come in like apartment size? Like it would be.
I am not finding apartment size.
No. Damn it.
Yeah. They seem to think that you're a company.
There you go. So here's the Dairy Queen menu for the Mr. Misty's, the Arctic Rush.
Ooh.
Ooh. See, I'm with you. I'm a Blizzard girl.
Yeah.
You guys want to try to guess how much a slushy machine costs? I'm talking about a two-seater.
1,800.
Two-seater? Two-seater?
Yeah,
I'll say 2,200.
Wow. That's okay.
Mike, any guesses?
I was going to go about 2,750.
Okay. Esmeralda, you want in on this?
$2,500.
Are we playing Price is Right rules?
Can't go over. Who's the lowest?
If we can't go over Price is Right rules, Patty wins. $21.49.
Interesting.
The right prices. Yeah, he was close, but John was over.
Interesting. That does seem expensive. How many slushies do you just sell to make your money back? Right? Because you have
that's a good question.
One that costs $2,200. You make a little bit of a profit.
Oh, FYI, I was just told about this place. It's in Missouri.
Yes.
It's this place called Tropical Liquors, and it's a frozen drink bar. And it's just slushies, as far as the eye can see, with booze in them. And they're all fresh.
This is what
fresh
I served
juices.
As, this is what I served as a bartender. That's
slushies?
All I made was slushies with booze in them. Because I worked at Navy Pier as a bartender, and all we did was we made a snow cone, and then we put like vodka in it. And that was our beer.
I'm so thirsty.
Yeah, but that's a snow cone.
Yeah.
But the vodka would melt the ice enough that it would become kind of a slushy.
It was exactly a slushy all the time, yeah.
Well, what I want to know is there a Pidgey in your slushy? More after this on 720 WGN.
I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide.
You know all the words, don't you, Craig?
I know all the words.
I don't.
Oh, it's such a motivational song.
Has it been playing?
Yeah, and I love the beginning, too. I want to be the very best like no one ever was. Yes.
Okay.
Amen to that.
Was that the movie or was
that's
that?
That's a cartoon show.
Okay, I don't know if it was the TV show or the movie.
Yeah, no, yeah.
The only words of Pokemon that sound familiar to me is Pikachu, just because it's a fun. It sounds like someone sneezed and I always thought that was funny. I know nothing about Pokemon. I've been doing research today because I'm trying to understand what exactly has happened to this planet, because the company has just made, they're making 7.5 million users are logging on and downloading the app every day. They're nearing in on Twitter, and they only launched on July 6th. And people are losing their ever-loving minds over this game. And I heard callers on Bill and Wendy's show. One woman said that her kid said, I need to go on a night adventure or a dark hunt.
Yeah, because then you can catch the ghost Pokemon.
And her mother, I don't know how old the girl was, but her mom was like, are you taking drugs? are you on some sort of substance that I should know about? And then she said that she let her daughter go with her friends because when she was a kid, when the mom was a kid, they would go out and play games like Ghost in the Graveyard or Catch One, Catch All. And so it made sense to let her go roaming around at night.
Yeah, wander around the block, pick up some ghosts. Why not?
Okay. I don't know what's happening. Do you know what's happening, Mike?
I have not a clue. No, okay. I've noticed people running around catching things, and I didn't know anything about it. I've heard this much in the background, but now I'm being educated.
I don't know about educated because I don't understand. I made a joke tonight that someone was trying to explain in great detail what Pokemon Go was, and I was just like, I was looking, and then I said, "Do you know what the three branches of the government are?" And they said,
there are three?
Exactly. And I said, you're going to get hit by a car trying to get a Jigglypuff, and that would be checks and balances.
By the way, Patty, real quick, I just opened Pokemon Go, and I'm going to try to catch a Drowsy live in studio while we're all...
There's a Drowsy in the studio?
Yeah, there's a Drowsy.
Yeah, you somebody drop some lures.
Kill it!
What? Why are we killing
things? I don't
know.
There's bugs in your studio.
You don't get to kill them? Just catch
Wait,
them?
Wait, how do they put monsters at pocket monsters in my... Why is it? Oh, look at that little guy. He's looks like an elephant, like an aardvark. What is
I
that?
I caught one while we were at commercial.
What is
that? That's a Drowsy. He looks like he walked around in a
why is he
mud.
Why is he on my shoulder? Is he over? Is he behind me? Wait, let me fix my bangs. What is happening?
There's a Grimer somewhere around here as well.
A what?
A Grimer. Yeah,
that sounds like the guy that rubs himself against the windows.
No, he's just grimy. A Grimer is, yeah. Maybe it's muck. I don't know. I don't have it in my...
Okay, I
know. They all have weird, cute, stupid names.
Okay.
But.
So what you're saying is that right now, listeners who are trying to catch Pokemon can come to 435 North Michigan Avenue...
And get a Drowsy.
And point their cameras at our studio, and there are some inside the Allstate Showcase
studio.
There
are two Drowsies here.
So actually. The app... Now is the... Okay. So many things to talk about when we come back because you are giving over so much information. You know, when did you read any of the stuff when it said do you allow this app to send emails for you?
Yeah, I scrolled through it and I unchecked a few things.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
No, did you uncheck a few things, Craig?
I did not.
Okay.
No.
Enjoy your emails.
Esmeralda, do you have the Pokemon Go?
No.
Is anyone in your life doing Pokemon Go?
No.
Okay.
Do you live in that booth?
Yeah.
Well, I hang out with Elliot Serrano, so guess who's playing Pokemon Go?
Yay!
Pokemon? Pokemon? What is it? Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Pokemon Go.
You both said it differently.
Pokemon?
Yeah, Pokemon.
A Pokemon.
You can
gotta
say
catch them all.
Yeah.
Mike? No.
Yay!
Yay! Yay!
Yay!
All right, let's do the news. 312-981-7200. If you're enjoying it, I'm not trying to mock. I mean, you can't feel... Can you really feel mocked if I'm just sort of giggling about it? Does that feel like mocking?
No.
I mean, it seems like you would kind of expect people to go, what?
It should entirely be mocked.
It should entirely
be mocked.
So Mike is obviously on Team Valor.
I got to do a little of this. I got to do a little of the Macarena. Craig, are you saying that you feel like I'm not hating on
Pokemon Go?
Oh, no,
no. It was in the rotation.
It was in the rotation. Song, was that what it was?
I love Tay Swift.
I know you like some T-Swift.
I've got
Is it Tay or T?
I call her Tay.
Oh, that was T.
I feel like I'm there.
Right.
Yes, John?
I've got a ska cover of that if you want a different version.
Oh, I would love the ska cover.
Yeah, I'll send you that.
We felt very badly that we did not give you a heads up that our favorite ska band was in studio. And they're kids. They've been coming to this show. Was that their seventh appearance?
They're just behind Tess Considine, who will be here tomorrow.
She'll be here tomorrow night. Mm-hmm.
I just caught a Swiftie on Pokemon Go. I got a Swiftie right here.
Yes.
My first Swiftie.
Is it a Swiftie? That's, I like that. We have, what do I have on my lap? I have a drowsy on my lap.
The
so
drowsy.
If you go to 435 North Michigan Avenue, if you're looking for a drowsy, drowsy's in my lap. So that's for reals. I don't know what's happening in my life, but I've got a drowsy. It sounds a lot like college. There were lots of drowsies in my lap.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. This is huge. I mean, 9 billion. How do they monetize this? I mean, is it from the information that they're collecting? Is it, are there any other ads running while you have the app?
I haven't seen any ads. There are, you can pay money to get coins. It'll speed everything up. So I'm sure people are doing that.
Right.
The same company did Ingress, which was a very similar game with only two teams instead of three, and you captured portals instead of Poke Centers, and so they've refined the model and added the Pokemon to it, which everybody now loves.
So what do you think is, okay, first of all, I do want to point out that there are Marines playing this game, Craig. I should have mentioned that earlier. For anybody who wants to mock it, there are a couple teams of Marines playing Pokemon. I'm not going to name them. They're actually none of the Marines that we've had on the show, but I have seen them posting about taking on other teams. That's become a team?
Yeah, there are three teams. There's a yellow team, which is Team Instinct, which seems to be electric-type Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
There is the red team, Team Valor, which is the fire Pokemon, and then there is the blue team, Team Mystic, which is generally the ice Pokemon or water Pokemon.
Is that the one you had, like, didn't you have something over your face?
Yeah, my Facebook profile has the symbol for Mystic over my face.
Which are legendary Pokemon birds.
Yeah, the symbols are represented by stylized versions of the
correct
three main legendaries.
Legendary Pokemon birds.
So, okay. And I was mocking earlier, and all, you know, but let me say that there are some things you should be aware of and be, you know, cautious and, you know, in the moment of your surroundings, okay?
Oh,
so
yes.
if you see something in the street, take a picture of it from a distance.
Yeah.
Right? Catch it that way. No, there are people who are putting their, like, they're stepping out in traffic. They're driving and catching Pokemon. There are people going into other people's property. Now, this only started on July 6th, and people are already trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
That was the other joke I made tonight, is you'd really hate to be arrested because you found, again, I don't know, a Pikachu in someone else's bathroom. This is not, you don't want to go crawling into somebody's window and then end up in a jail cell with people who are drug dealers and violent criminals and go, but I got a Pikachu.
I just had to get a Pikachu.
I had to get the Pikachu.
It's funny you say that because there's a guy, his story is going viral right now too, that his house used to be a church. And apparently the game has chosen a lot of churches for their gymnasiums, which are where people go to train their Pokemon or fight Pokemon gym leaders. So his house is a Pokemon gym.
Oh,
so
lucky.
People have been going to his house all day, every day. Walking up to try to, like, train and battle their Pokemon there. And the man was taking pictures. He introduced himself to some. He met the guy who owns the gym that is his house. It's pretty funny. And the one thing he has said is that he wished the game maybe asked for permission. Because that's the thing. Like, the game just set this stuff up.
Can you imagine if they asked for permission for all the people who have Pokemon on their property?
This goes back to Ingress. They're using what used to be portals. So right around Stage 773, Murphy's Hot Dogs and the Church on the Corner, and also Theater Wit and something else right there, are actual portals in the game. And you can submit them to Ingress, and it's supposed to be cultural centers where using architecture or theater or something, and they will make it a portal. And if it gets approved, it becomes a portal. And they've ported most of those over into Pokemon and their Pokestops or gyms. So 773 is a Pokestop, so I can get as many Pokeballs as I need, and then the church on the corner is a gym. So we have a gym right there as well.
I don't understand what
it's a numbers thing, basically. So the more people that went to that place, because it was a church, you had a lot of congregation there, that became a gym.
Okay.
And there's actually like three Pokestops here, so.
Esmeralda, does any of this?
My eyeballs are just spinning. They are spinning.
That happens right with now. A lot of conversations with me.
I don't know. I've had conversations with you before and felt completely grounded in reality. And
well, this is an augmented reality, so good luck.
I saw a tweet from someone who said that she was on the train and she saw some guy like tell his girlfriend, "Hey, wait, hold the train for me," and she promptly left. Because he was trying to catch some Pokemon on the train.
Yeah.
And she's like, bye, I'm going to see you later.
Yeah.
Or never.
Deal breaker. I'm going to say, hold the train for me while I catch this. What are some other names? Drowsies, Pidgey.
Mm-hmm.
I tried memorizing as many as I could. That's all I got. Jigglypuff.
My second favorite one is Haunter, which is a ghost that evolves from a Ghastly. It's spelled G-A-S, though, because it's a gas Pokemon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because they have terrible puns as names for many of them.
I would imagine. And these are, by the way, these are all Japanese anime, correct?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
And Pokemon means pocket monster. Mm-hmm. This is the research I did today, because I, again, Pokemon has always been sort of a background element. Mike, do you have any?
There were cards at one point. Were there cards?
There were cards and they were little tiny
I think there were miniatures as well, yeah.
Yeah. Griffin's got like a little play. There were kids at school that were like trading pieces, and yeah. Griffin just had a tin of them just to like make friends.
Did people try to keep like a keychain alive at one point? Was that a Pokemon?
A Tamagotchi,
thing?
Maybe? Yeah, that's yes. Not, yes. That now that you say that, there was definitely a Pikachu Tamagotchi.
Why
do I know this?
I don't know. That happened. That happened live. What do you think is the next step? Because this is not virtual reality. This is sort of a advanced reality of apps, right?
The next step,
it's like a scavenger hunt.
The next step for this is going to be that they'll let you trade and battle the Pokemon, which is from the original game.
I think Patty meant overarching.
Other games.
Oh, yeah,
no.
We got to build from there. Because what I would love would be the modern, the updated version of Google Glass, so I don't look like I'm wearing cybernetic sunglasses, where I could have... If I look at Patty, it'll scan her face and recognize this is Patty Vasquez, and then it'll pull up in my peripheral vision. Like
I'm not a portal, am I?
No, I don't think any.
Hold on, let me check. Nope, we're still not a portal.
Nope, still not a portal. Sorry, yes. Yeah, so just an augmented reality where it could like pull it up, and if you're in my contacts, it'll say phone number, et cetera, and I could send you a text without having to pull out my phone. I could just visually, it would queue up with where I'm tapping in the air, scroll through it.
Well, for video games, this is definitely the future of video games.
Oh, yeah.
This has swept... I mean, we talked about how many millions of people have downloaded this in the 7 or 8 days that it's been available, or 6 days. It's amazing. And so, obviously, games on your phone that interact with the real world is going to be the future of gaming. So you're going to see a lot more of this type of game for years to come, I think. And what's interesting about it is it forces you to be in the real world. It's the first way in which your smartphone actually forces you to interact with people and not just the phone.
And somebody has already done this on Reddit. They ghosted their phone onto their laptop and then attached the physical phone to a drone and sent the drone out so they could throw the Pokeballs using their mouse, and then the phone was physically in the location because of the drone. So they didn't have to leave their house.
What's happening? Okay. No, I'm not going to understand any of this. I'm going to have no retention of this information whatsoever. Okay, because I'm trying, right? You catch Pokemons, right?
Yes.
Griffin. Craig, sorry. I don't know why I called you Griffin. Craig just caught a Drowsy in my lap.
Yep, I did. There's another one, but I'm going to leave him alone.
And once you catch him, can someone... There's another one now?
There is. There's another Drowsy in studio, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But if you caught that one, would then we be void of
Drowsies? No, I think I'm just getting a lot of Drowsies, and I don't need that many Drowsies.
Okay.
Yeah. Just turn them into candy. With no context, that makes no sense.
That's damn pathetic.
How many conversations can you have where you actually... Well, at least me, I feel like I know less the more we talk
about this. Yes, and so my listeners are feeling the same way as well. I hope that they're on the same ride that I am on, trying to be amused and wrap my mind around this, because, like it or not, this Pokemon game is the harbinger of the next step in evolution of apps.
Yep, it sure
so
is.
This may not be our yum.
Nope.
But we're not, there's, I mean, there, our yum is soon to come.
From the 331. From the 331, went to Target today. Three employees were just walking around looking for Pokemon and not helping anyone.
Oh, no. Yeah.
From the 630, could McDonald's use augmented reality so users would collect items and coupons to redeem at stores? Is this going to be a business thing soon?
Oh, interesting.
Totally,
that's a way to monetize
it. I can see a Burger King or McDonald's version where McDonald's is perfect. They got all the cartoon characters already, where you have to go to McDonald's pick up their version of a Pokeball. Maybe it's a McDonald's Happy Meal container.
Right.
And you go around and you throw them and collect fries, and you capture Fry Guys and the McNuggets, and you bring it back and you get discounts or redeemable toys. So the kids are walking around, and then, Mom, we got to go to McDonald's and get Happy Meals because I get a coupon for a little plastic statue.
I can't. There's so many things are going to happen.
The singularity is coming, and I'm so excited.
Okay. See, now, this is the second time I've heard the word singularity since Saturday night. Okay, let's.
Is that surprising? You were probably hanging out with Elliot Serrano.
No, it was Charles Turk.
Oh, wow.
Who was trying to engage a conversation with Griffin about Singularity. Griffin's not a fan because he said that would then be the Cybermen from Doctor Who, and Resistance is futile.
Maybe.
So. Maybe, right? So that's kind of, to him, that's the concept of singularity, which is the combination of bioorganic materials being humans or other sure. organisms and technology.
That is one
Hi,
way
Mike.
Could go.
Mike's like, wait a minute, Patty, you and I were on the same page, and now we've gone off into singularity.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so you think this is the movement into singularity is also the jumping, the leap from our phones into reality. So
it could be. It could be. We don't know what the singularity is going to be. It could be that everything becomes digital. Okay. You upload your mind into something similar to the Matrix.
This is the conversation that I had on Saturday. I have to have you and Dr. Charles Turk in the same room because I'm not okay. So we've gone from Pokemon Go to uploading your brain. See, and here's my question about that too. Mm-hmm. How unfair for all the people that are gone that their consciousness is not downloaded into perpetuity.
I have read books about that. So yes, I read a lot of science fiction when I was younger, and I still read, but not as much because I'm running around catching little digital monsters.
All of this is as long as the technology doesn't decide that our organic bodies are worthless.
Right.
First,
you get chopped. You basically get processed into some sort of slurry, which is different than a Slurpee. And then you'd be fed into a grinder, and it wouldn't matter anymore, but you'd be digital. So.
And this is what happens when you accept the app and not read the security preferences.
Oh, man, now there's a Krabby in studio.
That's me. Wait a minute. That's me, Craig. Wake me up before you go, go. You are listening pretty late. It is that time of night. We're ready to wrap the show up. And Nick D will be up next. I can't wait to see Nick at Movie Co. It is Nick D's movie night at the Rosemont Movie Co. We're seeing Airplane. Esmeralda, you can go?
I can't make it now.
There's a movie coming up. I think he's doing a movie in the fall on a Saturday we get to go to, right?
I
think he's doing like a Godfather or something like that on a Saturday. I want to say that's what it is. I may be wrong. He did Scarface on a Saturday.
He did. I did go to that one.
How was that?
That was fun. That was cool to see it on a big screen.
That's it. Say hello to my little friend. There's a lot of words I can't. Oh, here we go. We are calling Brandon C. Price, who is typically here on Monday nights. And you were not a replacement, John Craig. You were a very specific booking.
That's fair.
Yeah. Oh, let's roll down the number. We won't put his number on the air. It's okay. He doesn't have an outgoing. Don't you prefer an outgoing message that's personalized?
Of course.
That way I know I've reached the right person.
Record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Brandon C. Price, it's Patty Vasquez.
Craig Collins.
Esmeralda Leon.
John Craig.
Magoo.
And Magoo! I like that. That's just kind of nice the way you say that. Brandon, we missed you tonight, but we had so much to talk about. But in particular, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the fact that it's a short skip and a jump, hop, skip and a jump from Pokemon Go to Singularity. That's what John Craig has just blown my mind with. That's what's happening. You are going to get your team, your Pokemon monsters.
I'm assuming Brandon is going to end up on the red Team Valor because that seems like it would fit his personality.
How do you end up on a team?
When you hit level 5, you go to a gym and you can choose one.
How do you get to level 5?
But just by walking around collecting Pokemon, evolving them.
Craig, why are you here?
That's the easiest
way. Like him explaining stuff. Like, I just find that so funny. How do you pick a team? Well, you got to catch Pokemon and then you go to a gym and you pick a team.
Of course. It's so matter of fact. Like, why wouldn't I know that?
Of course.
When you start playing, it says you do these things and then you do them and it says now go to a gym. And then it says choose one of these three.
312-981-7200. How many of you are prepared to start playing Pokemon Go just from this riveting conversation? And here's why. Again, 7.5 million people a day are logging on and getting this app. They've made $9 billion since it's launched on July 6th. I've only seen two people catching Pokemon. Well, now three, four, because you two were doing it in the studio. Elliot Serrano was doing it on Saturday, and then someone who rolled up and saw Elliot doing it, so they started doing it. And I didn't understand what was happening. So it's coming to a piece of property near you.
There will be no ignoring the Pokemon Go. No.
By the way, the number for the value that's been added by Pokemon Go to Nintendo is actually up to $11 billion.
Okay.
Wow.
So we want to know, Brandon C. Price, are you catching Pokemon? Now, cemeteries seem to be another place that are popular.
Yeah, because there will be elaborate sculptures or headstones. Mm-hmm. So in Ingress, again, those were marked as points of interest.
You've mentioned Ingress. Can you explain again what Ingress
is? It's the same company.
It's their first game.
Yeah, it's their first game. It's the same idea. If you look at the two maps, I'll show you later. If you look at them, you can look at the Pokemon map compared to the Ingress map. And the Ingress map is very, like, dark black background with, like, neon green. Sort of like a Tron type of look compared to Pokemon, which you've seen is more pastel colors or blues at night.
Yes. Okay, so... But I know if I never heard of Ingress, so it was just the Pokemon name.
Ingress was a completely different game that augmented
that
reality.
I never heard of.
You got to fight for one of two teams and there weren't Pokemon involved. So yes, it's the branding that has now taken this idea to the next level.
Do you have any desires as far as like what the next game should be, what the next collecting of?
I would like a version. If you're going to brand it, I would say do Transformers, do Autobots versus Decepticons. Only instead of having you go to specific points and capture them and throw Pokeballs or whatever, have it be where you could, if you have your phone up and you're using the camera like Pokeball throwing, you can see if someone is registered as an Autobot or Decepticon and you could shoot them little imaginary
from
lasers.
Phone to phone.
Phone to phone, yeah.
Because right now you can't do phone to phone.
You want to attack people.
Yeah, I would love to be able to do. Yeah, I would love to be able to essentially play laser tag with my phone.
Oh, and see, that's interesting.
Do a Star Wars version where you can have lightsabers and do little battles.
That's the next brand that I was thinking should get in on this.
Star Wars.
Star Wars should do something. Yeah, oh, yeah. You know.
Yep.
Mike is really trying to wrap his mind around this. Are you?
You could easily do the same idea where a point becomes a base, and that's a rebel base or an empire base, and you have to defend it. You choose a side, build stuff up. Maybe you could be a freelance bounty hunter if you don't choose one. Who knows?
Sure. Yeah, no, I don't understand anything you're saying.
We're going to start having John every week, right? We're going to do a weekly Pokemon Go update, probably.
I don't know about Pokemon Go. Okay. I think John explains stuff.
Maximum time permitted.
He's got a very short voicemail.
I'll tell Brandon all about this on Wednesday or next time I see him.
We usually get like an alert that you're about to run out of time. We get like a little beep, beep,
beep. Yeah,
there's
some kind of beep or something.
Yeah, we were not given.
I probably talked over it.
No, we're very conscious of the beep, beep, beep. I don't know. Yeah, I think John Explains Stuff is a new segment. It's kind of like Micah Says Things. We're going to do John Explains Stuff. Oh, there's an event coming up at Stage 773 you wanted to tell me about.
Oh, yeah. This is...
And this Pokemon, is surprising, yes.
Pokemon Go is probably not the nerdiest thing I'm involved with, surprisingly enough. Yeah, we have the 4th Annual Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival coming up August 11th through 14th.
That's going to be a Pokemon Palooza.
Oh, I'm sure, because we are a Pokestop. There will be people hanging out there. Star Kids are currently in the building doing Firebringer and a few other shows. And people keep dropping lures on the building. And there's already a bunch of younger people between, say, 15 and 25 hanging out in the buildings. They're all in the lobby catching Pokemon. And then the show starts. They go see the show. They come out and they continue catching Pokemon.
So are you selling more tickets at Stage 773 because you have Pokemon in the lobby?
It's too early to tell, but I would love for Jack Short to pull those numbers and see.
You should definitely be advertising all the Pokemons you can reel in.
I have been tweeting about it. So, yeah, Bobby Hoffman, one of the other stage managers, he tweeted, as soon as this show starts and I don't have to run lights, I'm going to be dropping a lure. If anybody wants to come by and sit at the bar, you can drink at the bar and catch Pokemon.
Well, there you go. Stage 773. Go catch your Pokemon. Go see a show. Nerd Fest is coming up August 11th through the 13th.
Through the 14th.
Is Elliot Serrano on the Nerd Fest this year?
I
know Cody had
check.
His podcast last year and he was on that.
I would have to double check. I know we're not doing as many podcast type things. Mm-hmm. Sunday, it's not shows. It's more like workshops.
Oh, great.
So... it'll be a bit different.
And last year, actually, Esmeralda, didn't you see Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the musical?
I did, yeah.
That was very cool.
That was very good.
Bobby was the singing, dancing demon in that, so.
It was pretty, it was amazing. It was pretty good. It got me into watching the whole seasons.
Wow. Have you seen everything now? Have you seen all the Buffy's?
Yes.
You saw everything to the end?
Yeah, I binge watched it.
Did you watch all of Angel as well?
No, I kind of stopped.
No.
I watched the Buffy and I was like, I'm good now.
Did you watch the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie?
Oh, I had seen that before when I was younger.
Just because you had seen it, you shouldn't watch it again.
I watched that many times when I was younger.
I mean, it's fine.
Oh, I didn't say it was good.
Yeah,
you should just watch it.
I love that Chrissy Swanson popped up in an episode of Psych. which was about vampires, oddly enough. It was very, it was,
that's pretty good.
It was very interesting. But it's a, I love the Buffy the Vampire Slayer series.
If you want to see the same group that did that Buffy show, most of the same, or a good number of the same people are involved with Friends, the one where they sing Please Don't Sue. They're over at MCL on Sheffield.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's where Brandon is Vamp.
Speaking of which, Brandon C. Price's group Vamp is celebrating their anniversary this weekend, so I'm probably going to go see a show this weekend. But tomorrow night at Rosemont Movie Co., we'll be hanging out and seeing Airplane with Nick D's Movie Club. Vic Vaughn, are you coming to Airplane?
I'm going to try.
All right. That doesn't sound very committed.
No, I know. This would be the first one I missed since joining this show.
Well,
but
then
I'm
don't let that happen. You know what? I'll bet you there's a lot of Pokemon Go there. I don't know.
You know, I actually tried to play that game, actually.
See, well, there's a drowsy in my lap, so you better get down.
Oh, there's a Zubat on the ceiling.
There's a what?
Zubat?
No, there's not. Stop it.
There might be. There might be a Zubat up there.
Somebody gets hurt. Magoo, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Really great music. John Craig, thank you for enlightening us about Slurpees.
Anytime.
And Pokemon Go and Singularity. So that's something else we'll talk about next time you're coming back in studio.